Blog Talk Radio.
This is Everything Home, the transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness delivered by good people doing good business and good things. Let's take the word freedom. Wouldn't it be great to have more professional freedom, personal freedom, and how about financial freedom? Every week, Michelle Swinnick, the queen of quality content, interviews experts, entrepreneurs, professionals, and purpose-driven people to share their stories, their passions, and provide real-life, tangible takeaways. Get ready to be entertained, yet learn some incredible information. This is Everything Home, and this is Michelle Swinnick.
It's noon in Mayor Corruption County, Arizona, and time for your weekly trifecta nooner with Michelle and the Everything Home Talk Radio Show. We're your censorship-free safe space sanctuary speakeasy for patriots. Our TGIF live studio audience is ready to take action and are very excited for all of the live events over the next couple days right here in Anarchy, Arizona. Today at 6:30 p.m. in Mesa, it's the America First Rally with our favorite Congresswoman, the notorious MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and a few other familiar faces. She called into the show on Wednesday, episode 213, in case you missed it. We love her. Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Glendale is the Revival Revolution, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight with many people you know, like our platinum partner, Ann Vandersteel, host of The Steel Truth. She was on episode 210, if you missed that one. And Patrick Byrne will be there, George Papadopoulos, and a lot of other patriots. Tuesday the 25th at 6 p.m. is Freedom Works, America's Comeback Tour 2021 with Nigel Farage, Reverend Aciel Bryant, and Carrie Lake. Tickets for all of these events are free, and everything is listed on our live events page at the Take Action tab on everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. Put on your common sense caps, people. Take out your pen and paper. It's Make It Happen May. Today's topics on episode 214, commercial real estate, automate your business, multifamily investing, racism, faith in God, and special guest, Dr. Pam Popper, delivered by our partners at the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace. They're good people doing good business and good things. Pam Goodwin, commercial real estate made easy and affordable. Brandon McCauley, helping business owners automate like a pro. Joshua Ferrari, financial education and success for investors through passive multifamily investments. Dan Perkins, host of the popular new show, Black and White, a place for honest and respectful talk. And Pastor Greg Young, PG's back in the house, host of Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And our special guest for Michelle's Patriotic Soapbox at 1 p.m., Dr. Pam Popper. She's the co-author of the new explosive book, COVID Operation, What Happened, Why It Happened, and What's Next. She's also the founder of Make Americans Free Again and Wellness Forum Health. So be sure to stick around for the second hour of the show. Facts, truth, take action, items, resources, and of course, some entertainment. Visit everythinghomeresourceplatform.com for more information on today's guests, their shows, their websites, and everything you need to grow your business, enhance the quality of your life, and make a difference, especially in your communities. Bookmark it. Make it your new homepage. Start your day with everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. We're your censorship-free safe space sanctuary speakeasy for patriots. Breaking news. Number one, the Department of Homeland Security closes two illegal alien detention centers due to allegations of abusive conduct. They were performing radical hysterectomies. Yeah. I can't make this stuff up. Number two, in Tennessee, the White House is secretly flying illegal alien children into the state during the middle of the night. And number three, Anarchy, Arizona, Secretary of State, Soros-backed Katie Hitler-Hobbs, says that her office will not recertify election equipment that was handed over to the audit and advises Mayor of Corruption County to purchase new equipment. They just love to waste your hard-earned taxpayer money. You know the real solution there, Katie? Don't buy new ones. Go back to the basics and use some paper ballots. No more machines. Today, Stop with Fun, episode 214. Commercial real estate, automate your business, multifamily investing, racism, faith and God, and special guest, Dr. Pam Popper. It is May 21st, day 431 of 15 days to slow the spread. Yes, that's correct. It's day 431 of 15 days to slow the spread.
Snap out of it.
It's time to rip off your dirty mask. They don't work. They actually make you sick, people, and are a symbolism of control and tyranny. Reclaim your freedoms, go back to normal, take action to stand up to nasty regimes, stop acting like we the sheeple, and reopen America 100%. Warrior, censorship-free, safe space, sanctuary, big easy for patrons. Now it's time to meet the partners of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network. Today's topics on episode 214, commercial real estate, automate your business, multifamily investing, racism, faith and God, and special guest Dr. Pam Popper. First up is Ms. Pam Goodwin. She's an author, speaker, coach, and owner of Goodwin Commercial Properties in Dallas, Texas. We love the big state of Texas. Nothing is small in that state. Audience, big round of applause for Ms. Pam Goodwin. Pam, how are you today?
Fabulous. We are making it happen here in Texas, and we are not going to take it anymore. Hello.
I love it. You guys are en fuego there. I mean, you ripped up those dirty masks a long time ago. Your governor stuck up for you, and you are rocking and rolling. I think it's almost since like late summer, and it just really kicked into gear. You must be a busy little bee selling all this commercial real estate.
Oh, I mean, we are just booming. And now, yeah, thank goodness for our Governor Abbott, and he's allowed restaurants to be able to, you know, deliver alcohol drinks to you, how they were doing pandemic. He put that into law. And here at commercial real estate, yeah, he just recently did that. And so that's really, really helping the restaurants get back reopened because they've had a tough time here in the last, you know, year plus.
Well, you know, that's what the innovation and the creativity of the leaders. You have a leader. Most of these other states have people in leadership positions, but you actually have somebody who is a leader, and that's what's going to make or break it. And you can just, you know, just take a look at the landscape, everybody, and we don't need to reiterate that. It's pretty much common sense at this point. But today,
I wanted to share one thing with your listeners. I thought it was interesting. La Madeline, if you're familiar with that restaurant, they're actually based here in Dallas, and they're going to be testing out 10 locations going inside Walmart's La Madeline, and that's going to be happening in July. So it's, as you mentioned, innovation. That's what us business owners need to do. And so it's exciting to see how, you know, if you're a business owner, you know, check out collaborating with another business and, you know, we can all help each other and get through this and make business boom again for the whole United States.
No, that's a great point. And that's right in your wheelhouse. You're talking about the commercial collaboration, but especially when you're dealing with that kind of retail sector. And that's where you've had most of your expertise is doing that particular niche, right?
Right. We've always specialized, after I worked for Brinker, developing more than 50 chilies from the ground up, Goodwin Commercial. We specialize in single tenant net lease assets, and that's still a booming sector here. As you know, if you have a drive-through, that's a hot commodity for any restaurant, and other sectors are now putting in drive-throughs in their locations. I even saw a recent one, Texas Roadhouse, which is a typical sit-down restaurant. They've added a drive-through. So, you know, it's interesting. Things are happening here. I think people expected after the pandemic that it would be a buyer's market, and you know, we specialize in commercial. It is definitely a seller's market. So if you are, you know, in the market to sell something, now is the time. I have a couple properties under contract now. Never seen the cap rates this low. And it's just
really
amazing what happened. I just made an offer on a property that, you know, just closed up, and I made my offer, and the other agent came back, said, you're going to have to bump it up. And it ended up being $100,000 over market. I've been in commercial real estate 30 years. I've never seen that happen where this, where I had to bid $100,000 extra higher. That happens in residential, but not in commercial. So crazy out there. So if you own something, now is the time to sell.
Is it because there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines and they just want to get into the game? Or what is the, obviously a lot of stuff is supply and demand too, but if business, or maybe as many businesses aren't going out of business is what we were thinking.
Yeah, it's everything you just said, but it's part of the reason is that they're buying right now is that they know that construction costs have gone up so high. That's one thing. But another thing that's the factor is interest rates are so low that if you're a business owner and you want to go buy something, go talk to your bank. It's amazing the offers that they're giving. I talked to my SBA lender yesterday. She's helping a client of mine buy a building. They're offering, they're waiving fees. They have lower down payments, a quicker process. So I'm always saying reach out to your local SBA. A lot of them are giving the PPP funds. Build that relationship for an SBA loan, conventional loan. But, you know, go talk to a lender if you have any interest in buying commercial real estate. I always say everything's for sale. It's just a matter of time. But, you know, now is the time to, since I just said it's a seller's market, but if you're looking, you may want to buy also before a lot of the stuff and construction costs are really elevating, to build out these days. It will never, I don't see it ever coming back low.
Yeah, based on what's going on with legislation, who's in there, those costs are going to just keep going up astronomically. So, everyone's just got to kind of weigh the pros and cons of the borrowing of the money. But if it kind of sounds like they're just throwing it around a little, it sounds very familiar. I don't want to name a certain year, Pam, but we'll skip over that.
If I had a crystal ball, I'm not predicting anything to go down. So if you're sitting on the sideline waiting for it to be a buyer's market, I don't see that happening anytime near soon. It's going up and up and up.
Yeah. I mean, just the construction loans or the construction costs alone makes it, get in now because everything is just going to be get to be more expensive just because that's just, that's common sense, if anything.
I looked at a condo and just a year and a half ago, I looked at it and I asked him the price. He said, it's $700,000. I said, last year I looked at it, it was $500,000. He said, yep, going up, anyways, it's a crazy market, but thank you for having me on your show. I know you have some fabulous guests. We could forever.
Well, I'll give you another minute or two because I know you want to mention maybe because I know you've got a show. I want you to promote that. And if you have any events coming up, but real quick, what would you say what would be the ideal niche for somebody to get into that you would think based on where things are going? Not necessarily the cost of everything right now, but I mean, what would you think would be the category for the type of commercial building?
A lot of it still is your office space. I'm helping a couple
investors
really? Now looking at just a small office building. You can, here in Texas, you can buy one starting at $300,000 down. You can use your 401k to put down. If you got an SBA loan, 10% is all you need on that building, $30,000. And looking to do that, if you don't want to own or occupy it, you could just buy a $300,000 condo and lease it out to someone. And my husband and I have one of those, and we get, I think it's like $1,400 a month cash flow.
That's a good way
to get started in the market, looking at those condos. Medical is really booming these days. They're opening up everywhere. They're building condos everywhere here. So you have the opportunity at a lower price to get in. They're already built out. You can acquire it, lease it out at a good rate, and have cash flow. It's a great way to get into commercial real estate or the single tenant net lease deals, which you can, you know, have a Starbucks or a McDonald's or a brand that you like, and all you do is own the real estate. They pay the rent, the common area maintenance, taxes, and everything, and you collect the rent. A lot of people start off in the single tenant net lease, and or that's all they own. I have a client that owns hundreds of them, so and they started with one, buying one, and then
yeah,
getting the next one, using that as equity, and then the next one, and
now he's got hundreds.
Excellent cash flow.
I'm going to make it easy for the audience. If you've listened to this segment, I mean, you can't get more expertise than Pam Goodwin. So rather than spending all your time doing research, just call her. Just go ahead. I'm making your life easier. Just contact her and call her. Give your website, Pam. Give your website, Pam. Make it easy.
Pam, it's very easy. PamGoodwin.com. PamGoodwin.com. Send me an email at pam@pamgoodwin.com. I do joint ventures all over the country besides Texas. So I'd love to team up with some of your listeners and help them get started investing in commercial real estate.
All it takes one, and then you can have hundreds. Pam's doing it for lots of people.
The first one.
Yeah.
And take the risk, take the chance. I mean, there's low risk if you know what you're doing, but you have to just take action. Everybody wants to invest in commercial real estate, talk about it, take classes, read books, forget all that. Start buying. Take action.
Yeah, take action.
The money is the easy part.
You know, I have that written on my wall. I have that written on my wall, Pam. That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much. You try to get some rest somewhere. Slip that in there with all this busy activity. Thanks so much for coming on. Your content is just so unbelievable. Everybody give her a call, send her an email, and start investing as soon as you can. Prices are only getting higher.
Michelle.
Pam, thank you so much. Talk to you next month.
Bye.
Oh, such a smart lady. Remember, we was on maybe a month or two ago, and you know, commercial real estate, old boys network, traditionally. She had busted through that. She's been in it for over 30 years, and it's so successful, so smart. So I encourage you to even tune into her show. If it's not listed on our must listen to page at the Take Action tab, I'm going to add it there this weekend. But she has some really great guests and gives tons of information. But she's really smart cookie, real smart cookie in the arena, especially in the great state of Texas. All right, it's 12:17. I'm going to bring on my next guest, but I just want to remind everybody, if you could please rate, review, and subscribe to the show, that would be awesome. We'd appreciate it. And follow us on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the LinkedIn, the Twitter. Rumble is our favorite one, Rumble. I started posting on, I threw up a couple of the shows on YouTube, and they didn't censor me or take it down. So I'm not quite sure if their algorithms aren't picking up the entire show. Maybe they just pick up the beginning, because every word that comes out of my mouth and our guests on the show are things that they don't like. So I'm going to start to post it on there too. And of course, join our newsletter and all of this information, everything homeresourceplatform.com. On the homepage, you'll see the big graphic for rate and review. You'll see all the buttons there to subscribe. And of course, there's a big graphic for the links. You click on that, that'll get you to all of the social media links. And the newsletter also, that is always at the bottom of every page, lower right-hand corner on your phone or on your on the website pages, comes up at the very bottom. The most recent show actually scrolls across the bottom of the screen. So it makes it easy to listen to the last show. Now there's a show player with all the shows on the homepage too. So everything is there. And remember, the ultimate resource platform. All right, let's bring on our new guest. Our new guest is a new partner to the platform. It's Mr. Brendan McCauley. He's the founder of HL Mastery. He's helping business owners master go high level to automate their business like a pro. Audience, big round of applause. Brendan, how are you?
I am fantastic, Michelle. Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy it's Friday, but that doesn't really mean that much because I work Saturday and Sunday. So it just means I have two days off of no show, which means I can actually get other work done. Other than that, it's still 12, 14-hour days. But most people in this world are on the same pace at this point.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, and I appreciate the round of applause. That's quite the audience.
They're very excited to automate today. That's why they very, very excited. And I kind of gave you a great segue here. And I'm saying, listen to the amount of hours that I'm working, right? There needs to be some sort of automation because no human being can keep up that pace without some support. And you'll go insane. We've talked about it numerous times on the show. It's not healthy, right? It's not healthy to keep up that pace. So you have some solutions in order to automate different levels of your business so that you can actually, you know, maybe work 10 hours a day, a little something,
yeah.
Or like, you know, hopefully. Go to the store, like, ooh, I had time to go to the store today. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I know we got a few minutes here. So yes, I'd love to share just a couple of golden nuggets that I think they'll find extremely valuable, you know, good takeaways in order to be able to automate their business. And I think really segmenting, even just from what Pam was talking about in terms of the real estate and from what you were just talking about, this makes for an excellent transition. So for those listening that said, hey, you know, I love what Pam's doing. Maybe I should get into this real estate game. Or maybe they, you know, Michelle, they love what you're doing. They say, hey, I want to start a podcast. At the end of the day, you know, when you start doing this, it really comes down to, okay, well, you know, you start learning a little bit. Hey, let me start putting this into action. And eventually you get to a point where you've got maybe a bit of a cadence going. And then it's like, okay, well, ultimately with the business, like what are the goals? What do I want to achieve? And generally for most business owners is, okay, I want to try and scale it. I want to try and grow it. I want to try and make more revenue from it. And typically, Michelle, where we wind up finding people have challenges is that they're not organized. They haven't learned how to automate it. And then they really haven't learned how to keep themselves accountable to that process. So I think what, you know, what people will find helpful is that just knowing that there are systems out there that allow all of these pieces really to come together. So prime example, before we got on this show, you had sent me an email that had all the specific details about the show, when to show up, all the links, all the rest of that. Let me ask you a question. Did you sit there after I said, hey, I want to join the show and type this whole email and send it? Or did you already have that pre-done and then sent out to me?
You're gonna laugh. It's so stupid and old school. I cut and paste it from a Word document and then I send it out. So that's okay. Not really automated. I mean, at least the language is there and I just make a couple changes, but it is not the way that I should be doing it. So I know that. I just haven't done the research to find these systems that I can pop that into the smart way. But yes, it is cutting and pasting and opening files. I do lose a lot of time. Yes. That's why I was excited to have you on the segment because I'm a disaster when it comes to the automation part. I literally do everything by hand and it takes too much time. Yeah.
All right. So let me, so we'll use this. I think this will be a great example for the next like 3-4 minutes. So you have this one option and there's a lot of other podcasters that are probably in that same realm as you, right? So it's like, hey, you got people in there. You cut this, you take out that name, you put this name, you have to make all these physical changes. Give me a rough time frame. How long did it probably take you to create all that?
each time I'm doing it, let's just put it this way. It is way too much time. So it is a lot of lost time that should be spent on something else. Because if I told you the number, it's embarrassing. So let's just say it's too much. Yeah.
Okay. So it's too much time. And so here's the great news. You're not alone. There's probably 100,000 other people that are listening to this podcast. They're like, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing, but how do I do it better? So that's essentially what my team and I help people to do. So, you know, we say, okay, what is the end goal of what you want to achieve? Where are the current hiccups and the bottlenecks now? Great. Let's take that. We're going to give you a system. We're going to provide that entire structure for you. So that way you don't have to worry about doing all this manual action. Because at the end of the day, like, you want to be able to hop on a show, you want to have great calls, great connections, share massive value, and get this out to the world in the shortest period of time possible, impact the most people, maybe even some, you know, generate some revenue with it. But instead, your time's now being used to copy and paste from a Word doc to send out information about a show that you have to go and redo over and over and over. So if you're a business owner listening to this, and, you know, honestly, Michelle, for you, maybe what we can even consider showing you, like, you know, we can do it for you. And then, you know, you can share it with your audience. Hey, guys, this is how you do it. You know, maybe even turn that into a case study. And we say, here's the time you had before. This is the time you're taking now. But just to kind of paint the picture, and this is how when I had started my podcast, and we actually have a new podcast we're going to put out, imagine being able to saying, hey, guys, I have one page. If you're interested and you want to sign up for my show, go ahead and click that. They click on that. They go to read all your details on your one page. It has a full-blown, you know, Q&A, FAQs. They agree to all that. They pick the calendar time. On that calendar time, there's a whole series of questions, everything you'd want to know about them. Once they choose that calendar time, that calendar gets booked not only for you, also for them. It includes every question that they answered. So now both parties can see what's going on. And there's an automated email series that includes every detail about the show. It summarizes all their answers. And then there's a consistent reminders up until the time when that show is going to take place, all hands-free. So all you had to do was promote it, put it out there. They took the action, and then the system handled the rest. So that means there's no copy and pasting. There's no having to, you know, oh, my God, maybe I got their name wrong when I went, you know, blasted it out in an email. They take care of it. So just ultimately, and this is one very small piece of what's possible, but like literally something like that can save tens, if not hundreds of hours on a monthly basis and allow you to do what, you know, either A, you love, or B, is more important to help you grow your business.
I'm not quite sure how to respond to that. if you know the pain that I go through in order to just get the coordinating. I mean, I have the Calendly link for the information and for the actual scheduling, which makes it easier because otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk to 70, 75 people a month to coordinate this is because there's too many guests.
Right.
It's mathematic. That's mathematically impossible. But there's so many other parts that you just mentioned that can be automated that if that could happen, I don't even know what thank you. It would not be sufficient to describe how things would change because to just free up that time to do things like that. So that's, are you like real quick? Cause I know we've got like, give me another minute just cause I've got the other guests in the queue right now. So
sure.
Are you creating the system or is it something that you're just customizing or you're not?
It's already built out. It's just something it's a huge passion of mine. So we'll help people get it all set up. I'll put it this way. Have you ever been to IKEA?
Yes.
Okay. So it's kind of like IKEA. So it's like, it's something that's absolutely beautiful. And if you have instructions and you know what you want to create, you have a gorgeous piece of furniture sitting in front of you. If you don't have the instructions, it can be a lot of like little tiny screws and nuts and bolts where it's like, okay, I know what's possible, but I'm not sure how to do it. So basically consider us like the instructions portion of IKEA furniture. And when you put it together, it's absolutely beautiful. So right now, I'm sure you have an entire list of people that you've talked to, that you're going to talk to. With a system like this, not only can you automate a lot of that, but in terms of, you know, like the pipe, like a stage of where they stand, previous guests, upcoming guests, guests to follow up with, that literally I can show you how you can literally just move them one inch over and send full-blown follow-ups, emails, updates. Hey, guys, here's what's going on with the show. And automate stuff. So it'll make you way more efficient, way more effective. And a lot of people just don't even know this stuff exists. So it can be very, very powerful.
You know, you know when like something happens and you hear angels in the background, like, ah. that's what I've been hearing for the past like 6 or 7 minutes. I mean, if I had... If you saw a video right now, the smile on my face is so huge. And I just want to look to just... This is a perfect, I'm glad that we just had this conversation because this is a perfect example of, I would say you said like 100,000. No, there are millions of people that are having the same conversation in their heads of the issues that I've had. And not to mention, and what I said in the beginning before you even told me what you have, I said, the reason why I haven't done, I haven't put anything together is because I haven't had time to go look to see what's out there. So the reason why we keep having guests like this on the show, and this is something that I just keep reminding listeners, is because if we're doing the heavy lifting to find the messages that matter from the people that literally you need to know about that can make your life easier, then rather you having to do all that legwork yourself or to do the research to find all of these things. I just found them. Remember? Aha! The cherubs are flying around. So just by the time, like literally, if I would have had a conversation with him a month ago, look how much time I would have saved because I obviously got to pay him something, right? But I would have made that back or not lost that in all this lost time. So that's just another, just let that sink in, people. Let that sink in. Brendan, give your website. I got to bump to the next guest, but whoa.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the name is High Level Mastery. So it's hlmastery.com.
Well, that's simple. Okay. Let's chat this weekend. Let's chat this weekend a little bit more. I need to talk to you a little bit more. So I will call you this weekend.
Yeah.
Are you working this weekend? Do you work on the weekend? No, you probably don't work on the weekend because you automate everything.
No, 100%. And I know we're definitely friends on Facebook now, so feel free to shoot me a message and we'll lock something in.
Yeah. And I apologize if I'm interrupting like beach time or whatever you do in all this free time because you automate. But
Not at all.
Give me 15 minutes.
Happy to help.
Give me 15. Give me 15. Interrupt. Put down the cocktail and pull the boat over to the side. And give me 15 minutes this weekend.
I'll invite you on the boat. We'll get a glass of wine. We'll do the whole thing. It'll be great.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much for coming on hlmastery.com. Who knew, people? See, it's there. It's there. All right, my friend. I'll talk to you this weekend.
My pleasure. You got it. Bye.
Thanks. Oh, I think we just had a light bulb, life-changing moment. Life-changing moment, everybody. So, yes, stay tuned. I will let you know how the conversation goes. I'm definitely going to have that this weekend. All right, it's 12:31. Oh, my goodness. I am way over. All right, let me bring on my next guest. My next guest is a new partner. He's got a great last name. Joshua Ferrari. He's a multifamily real estate investor, syndicator, and founder of Ferrari Capital. Just makes you go, hey, I got to talk to this guy because if he can have Ferrari capital, he can maybe he's getting a Ferrari with his capital. Their primary focus is the financial education and success of their investors through passive multifamily investments. Audience, big round of applause. Joshua, do you own a Ferrari?
I do not own a Ferrari, but it is a dream one day to own one.
Well, let's put it this way. You were smart enough not to buy a Ferrari. You bought multifamily properties, which was a much better return than investing in a Ferrari. So, see, you are much smarter than the average bear.
You could say so. You could say that.
So let's talk multifamily. Let's do this real quick. Just briefly let people know what a syndicator is and then tell us a little bit about you and then just jump into how your whole process is a little bit more unique, maybe a little bit more personalized than some of these other investment companies that are out there.
Right. So syndication in its basic form is just the pooling of money together from a group of individuals, typically in our instance, that's investors looking to get a return on a specific type of asset. So the asset that we buy obviously is multifamily. That could be apartment complexes. That could be mobile home parks. It's just typically residential multifamily real estate. And so you pool the money together, and we as the active investor, or as what's called the general partner, the GP, we operate the deal. We really do all of the work as far as underwriting it, having access to the deal itself, being able to acquire it, raise the money, do all these things. And then you as the passive investor or the limited partner, all you really have to do is vet us as sponsors, make sure that we're people that you trust, make sure that the deal makes sense for you, look at the deal, look at your goals, see if all that kind of meshes well. Then you would make that investment, and from that point on, you're utterly and completely passive. We communicate with you on what's going on. We actually asset manage the deal, operate it, make sure that the business plan gets executed on. In its basic form, that's what syndication is. So me, who I am, how I really like got into this business, I started investing in real estate as a whole about 3.5 years ago. Didn't actually get into multi-family side of things until about 2.5 years ago. When I got into multifamily, I was really excited. I was stoked. Like, this is amazing. Can't wait to dive deeper into this and really create that true financial independence, that true financial freedom that most people are looking for when they're looking to invest in real estate. And it ended up taking almost 2 years before we even bought our first deal. Couldn't believe it took that long. It's a very difficult barrier to entry, but we finally got in. We've since closed over 95. Units. We've got another 236 under contract, another 400 to 500 units with LOI got right now. And we're really trying to hit 1,000 units this year, with kind of the outlook being $100 million of assets under management. So that's really who I am and who my who the company Ferrari Capital is, kind of where we're headed. And so I guess to give tips and takeaways and really dive deep into what it is that we do, or like you said, how I differentiate myself, you know, how the company is different than any other syndication. I'd have to say that we really make it a point to educate and communicate. I think communication is one of the things that a lot of investors get upset with when it comes to the actual investment, because they'll do the, you know, they'll underwrite the operator, they'll underwrite the deal, they'll make sure that it makes sense, they trust the individual, and then the deal will close and it'll come time to actually start managing this asset. You know, these deals are typically anywhere between 5, 10, 15-year holds. And so for the next 5 years, they're really counting on the syndicator or the operator to let them know what is happening with their investment, what is going on. You know, if a hurricane hit, is it going to take you 6 months to communicate with me because you're trying to get all your ducks in a row before you tell me what the heck happened? Or right. is the property being managed well? Yes, I think communication has always been something that's been very, lack thereof from a lot of different operators. And that honestly is the number one thing I hear from investors. That is, like, that's why what they're upset about.
And that's the easiest thing to do, is to communicate with somebody who just gave you a bunch of money and is relying on you to do what you said and do their job right, because that's, you know, you're not talking $1,000. You're talking, there's, you know, two, sometimes three digits in front of that comma. Sometimes there's two commas. So for the fact that that is the, let's just say, complaint, it's actually kind of sad. It's you think people would be a little bit more respectful of somebody else's money, but you know what? There's companies like you that are, so it makes you stand out from the competition. There you go. So I guess it's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for you that that's the biggest problem, because you've solved it and you just, you know, pick up the phone and say, hey, things are good. You know, it doesn't take much, but that's why companies, and that's something great overall, not even just because you're doing it. If people would just communicate with their clients and their customers or even their past customers, look what could possibly happen. Just give them a little extra attention or updates. I think that is that speaks mountains, my friend. Communication. People want
right.
that.
Even if it's like, hey, nothing really happened this month, we're kind of still on track, but you know, that's all I got. You know, we're still on track. Things are still looking good. That's all we've got. Nothing horrible happened. Even just saying that it means the world to these investors. Are like, okay, they're keeping us up to date. They haven't missed a monthly communication or a weekly communication or a quarterly or whatever you decide, however you decide to communicate with them. But then also it goes to when problems do arise, or when investors are upset, or when they have questions about the PPM and they're like, hey, when do we get quarterly distributions again? Or where can I find this X, Y, and Z information? And if you're able to get back to them in a timely manner, then that shows them that they're important to you, that they matter to you, that they're someone who you're truly caring for and looking after their money. You know, even if they're not the biggest investor, because most of them know they're not the biggest investor. You know, there's probably someone out there writing a larger check for the deal or what have you. But if you're treating every single investor as if they are your biggest investor, then it goes a long way. Even just that level of communication could be the difference between them having kind of that sour taste in their mouth and that investment and not ever investing with you again, to you guys making millions of dollars together by continuing to do deals for life.
I think your message is resonating right now in most people's minds. They might want to step up their own little game when it comes to their own businesses. It's a great reminder, you know, all money matters, because it does, even the little guy, because the little guy might become a big guy someday. And guess who he's going to want to call? He's going to want to call Joshua and say, hey, remember when I was just a little guy? Well, guess what? Now I'm a real big guy. So you never know, guys. You never know. So, you know, they might get inherited. They might win the lottery. Next thing you know, it's $1 billion Bob when he was just starting out with Joshua. And now look what could happen. So all money matters, people. All money matters. Give your website and plug anything that you want to real quick, Josh.
Real quick, our website is ferraricapital.com, ferraricapital.com. And you can check out all of our information on there. You can sign up to be on our investor list. You can sign up to be on our monthly newsletter. You can check out any past deals that we've done, see some referrals on there. Check out our own podcasts. All the information's on there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And please join us next month. Just jump on the calendar and we can dig a little deeper into the multifamily world. I'm sure people have some questions about which specific real estate, and especially, remember, passive. We love that word passive. So it's like a hands-off show, passive and automation today. I'm not quite sure what's going on. But, yeah, communicate with your people, everyone. Learn from Joshua. Communicate with your people. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. I am running behind. Well, it's 12:41, so I'm a few minutes behind, but I'm going to make up the ground. I'm going to save all of my stuff for after the Patriarch Soapbox section. So make sure you stick on around after Dr. Pam Popper comes on. So my next guest is Mr. Dan Perkins. Dan Perkins, he is an author, commentator, speaker, TV, radio personality, veteran. We love our veterans here on the platform. And he's host of America's Cannabis Conversation and the new show, Black and White, which is Wednesdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Enlightenment Radio Network, our platinum partner over there at Big D Audience. Mr. Dan Perkins, can you give him a big round of applause? How are you, Dan?
I'm excited to talk to you again. You were part of a historic week for us last week, and I wanted to tell the audience we did the first show a week ago Wednesday, and we got about 93,000 listeners on the first day. By Sunday evening, we had 400,000 downloads.
Oh, that's
and we
awesome.
Did show. Yeah, well, what do you hear? What happened on Wednesday? We did our second show, and on the original live show plus two broadcasts on Wednesday, we went from 93,000 to 153,000 this past Wednesday.
Oh my goodness, that is amazing!
That's a 50% increase over the previous week. I don't know that's going to keep up, but it's clear based on the reaction that we're in the right church and the right pew, and we're resonating with a lot of people. So I wanted to tell you about our show this coming Wednesday, which is going to be our first guest on the show. And the gentleman is an author by the name of Kenny Chu, and he's written the book An Inconvenient Minority, the story about the treatment of American of Asian descent. And we see every day some kind of attack with hammers or run over by cars or whatever, how Asian Americans in the United States are being persecuted. And it's part of the overall racism theory. And Daryl and I spoke with Kenny this morning in a preview, and he's going to be a phenomenal guest. And he's encouraging all minorities, black, browns, Asians, reds, whatever. You got to stand up for yourself because nobody else is going to do it. And he's got an organization that he's started to help Asian Americans stand up. And the principal reason why Asians are discriminated against in the United States is because the left thinks they've taken up too many class seats in colleges of higher education, especially the big ones, the Ivies, that there's too many Asians in these seats, and it needs to be more for black and browns, and but they got to get rid of the Asians. And the Asians have a reputation of being studious. They work hard at their studies. They don't have the same kind of lifestyle as a lot of other people. And they get into these colleges and universities because they've demonstrated an ability to do the work successfully, and they get in on their merits. And this movement to take them out of colleges is because not because of their merits, but because of who they are and their skin color. And it's deplorable, but it's typical of what we've been talking about. Daryl and I have been talking about on our own, but now we're talking about on the show. And I think that what we're hearing is that it's resonating rapidly with lots and lots of people because they feel kind of the same way that people like Kenny Chu does, and other people like Daryl and myself and you, that we have got a society that wants to penalize people who do not conform to what the mainstream media and the elite say you should conform to. And there's a revolt coming from the minorities, and the Asian people are, in fact, behind pushing for participation in this revolution to get treated fairly.
Well, most of the racism and the crime and the brutality is the minority against the minority. You know, so like you're giving an example that they're kind of, they thought they were supposed to help each other and be on the same team, if that's what, you know, the messaging was at one point. But, you know, it's interesting that you give the analogy of how the left is wanting to eliminate the Asians from the school systems, amongst other things. You know, it for years, up until recently, it was the only minority group or only race category, right? Because everything has to be labeled. Everything has to be categorized. We have to, you know, put everybody in a box, which is not how it should be, but that's what they do. You know, I've said for years, I said, you know what? They never say anything about Asians. Like, no one ever talks about Asians, really. They don't give statistics on them. You know, they just leave them alone. They're never thrown in. They're never doing a riot. They're never doing a protest. And I would always joke around. I said, well, because they're busy working. They're in school. They don't have time for any of this stuff. And I said, it's just a matter of time before they're going to be kind of picked out, because they were just kind of like the low-hanging fruit. And over the past, couple months, maybe 6 months, they become the target. And it's just ridiculously so predictable. It is like the saddest playbook then. And I just hope that many, many Americans are realizing that this is just literally like a written down how to, and they just happen to be the next category that was due for targeting. Let's leave it at that. Don't you agree, Dan?
Yeah. In fact, there was a story today of Chelsea Gabbard, who ran for the Democratic nomination for president, didn't make it. And she was reacting to Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago's banning of white reporters from news conferences for as long as she's mayor. And Chelsea said today, this is an example of black racism against whites.
Mm-hmm.
When the mayor of Chicago says, I'll only speak to persons of color, black or brown. And she's got a lot of other issues than worrying about whether there's a black or a white reporter. But it's an example of just what you were saying, is that they'll turn on anybody at any time for their particular agenda. And they're starting to eat their own. And that's, I guess, maybe a good sign. I don't know. But I'm concerned that this critical race thing, is which we focused on our first show, still continuing, and the idea that we are the white students in the classroom have to be taught that their parents are racist and they're white supremacists. just drives me up the wall. And as I said, the way what we're hearing from people who have listened to the show and sent us notes, emails, or phone calls are saying, you know, we need more people like you out there talking about the issues in the context of what is the reality. And we're excited about what we're trying to do here. We're still going through some bumps, but we're getting better and we're improving the production. But the content is exactly what we wanted to do when we started the program. And this Wednesday show with Kenny, I think, is going to blow the doors off. And we're already looking beyond of future shows. What areas do we need to bring to the attention? You know, what was it? One thing that came out about the critical race theory, the incredible number of people in America who know nothing about it. That they're
totally
ignorant
about it.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that's possible because people on the mainstream are talking about it all the time. There might be two incidences, but of course they make it seem like it's in the millions. So if you're watching that kind of stuff, you're seeing it all the time because it's more propaganda. And then if you're listening to the alternative media, they're talking about it the way that you are having this conversation. So when somebody says, I don't know about NS, I'm not quite sure because you're getting it from two different directions, but obviously two completely different perspectives, one of theory and messaging and propaganda, one of actual facts, which is scary that people are saying that they don't know or they never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's scarier than the fact that the propaganda is trying to craft the message that, you know, everybody hates each other and they're creating, you know, another fake enemy, another invisible enemy to divide we the people.
Right.
And again, everybody, it's playbook. It literally is a playbook. You just insert a different person in a different category, a different label. Otherwise, it's the same format. They've been doing it for years. They're just really good at it.
The other piece of bias that came out this week is that we had a week ago Sunday, Bernie Sanders, a U.S. senator, calling the Prime Minister of Israel a racist. And we've got a bunch of people in the House.
Bernie's Jewish, right? Isn't Bernie Jewish? So I just want to make sure that the audience knows that, that he is Jewish. Okay. Just want to make sure.
He is Jewish.
Just want to make sure. Right.
And the
Prime Minister of Israel is also Jewish, right? Just confirming that.
Most generally.
Okay. Just making sure everybody heard that.
Yes. Rush Limbaugh said years ago that his friends don't understand why Jewish people do not, so many of them don't support the state of Israel. And Rush said, you got to understand that a U.S. Jew, a liberal U.S. Jew is a liberal first, a democratic second, and a Jewish person last.
Isn't that crazy?
So their own home state is at the bottom of the totem pole. But the idea that you know, how can AOC and other people in Congress criticize the Israeli government for protecting themselves with 3,000 missiles that come over from Hamas, and nobody in the media is talking about what did they do wrong? What did Hamas and Palestine? It's all Israel's fault. It was Israel's fault because they responded inappropriately. I did a commentary this week, which you can see on danperkins.guru. The idea that Israel overreacted to 3,000 rockets coming, 4,000 now, I guess it was the number, 4,000 rockets coming in, and it's Israel's fault that the 4,000 rockets came in? No. So it's another example of prejudice and bias and racism against the Jewish state because they're not doing what the mainstream media and the elites in the United States, especially in the government, want them to do. And I saw the interview with the Benjamin on Face the Nation, and the reporter was ignorant, embarrassing, rude, and condescending. He was trying to tell the Prime Minister of Israel how he should be acting, which was totally inappropriate. But That's what the news media is today. They're trying to control the agenda and what we think in our minds. And if we don't think like they do, there will be hell to pay because of it.
And
we have
just
to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, and the fact that you've got many members in Congress, we talked about this the other day on the show, that many members in Congress that are not supporting Israel, then they're actually supporting Hamas and Iran, and we're giving them hundreds of millions of dollars to give them the money so that they can go ahead and fund all of this terrorism. And they're very adamant about it and very vocal. That anti-Semitism, and these are people that are in leadership positions, which is just, it's just scary. And the American people need to stand up and not take it and not allow it to happen. And just the fact that people are being, that are quiet about it, it just, that's scary.
You're talking about a government in Palestine. Palestinian and Hamas leadership have said to the world on many occasions, they want to kill all the Jews.
No, they want to wipe Israel off the planet Earth, which is even worse and more graphic. And obviously, you know, we can go into much detail about that, which is, you know, and then they'll go up, but go give them $300 million, Joe. That makes sense. That makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Right.
And don't stick up for the people. I mean, you know, anyone that's listened to a couple of interviews from people that are in Israel right now, like the mayor of Shiloh. He was the previous mayor of Shiloh. I believe it's Shiloh is the city, if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. He was saying people are like at work and all of a sudden, boom, they have to run into like a bomb shelter. But they're just doing normal things. He goes, and that's what they have been living through until this temporary, you know, this fake ceasefire. But, you know, that's...
Absolutely. And my guess is that the Palestinians and Hamas will be the ones to break the ceasefire, and I have no doubt.
Well, yeah, because they want to. That's their vested interest, right?
But they'll blame it on Israel. So the idea of Kenny's book is to begin to try and help Asian people stand up for their rights and their free speech, which they believe is being prosecuted against them. So he's excited about being on our show. We're excited about having him. We're going to share each other's websites so that people can follow him and other guests on the show. And we're going to put him on our website, and they're going to put us on their website. So we just struck a deal today of expanding the potential universe of people who can listen to our story.
Well, and that's what you have to do. You have to, you know, we're trying to bring together like-minded people on this platform so that they can know about your show. They can know about each other's shows. And then that's how we get the message out about what matters. You know, it's like your Daryl show that is listed on our Must Listen To page. And everyone can go find out and easily just find them there. And Black and White is listed there. If you forget to go to the Global Enlightenment Radio Network to go check it out. So that way we hit them all from each side. So that way people can, I want to eliminate the excuse of, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to listen to. I didn't know where to go to find the information. No, literally, if you start on our website, you will find all this. You will find this. You will find these people. You will find the shows from Dan Perkins and from Daryl Naley, like the Black and White, plus all of the other guests, you know, just everythinghomeresourceplatform.com, Take Action tab, Must Listen To page. You will see them all there. So we're making it easier. So, So anyway, you want to plug your website real quick, Dan? I know that we talked longer than we needed to, but it kind of happens when you come on my show.
I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
It's okay. It's good conversation. It's fine.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to people about some of the real issues and that people are out there trying to do something about it. It's www.blacks.whites.us. And as always, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show today.
Oh, you're always a pleasure. And I just wanted to do a little plug for everybody real quick. A little plug. When Dan and Daryl came on the show, which was last Friday, was episode 211. Right. We had, so 211, everyone go listen to 211. We had 97,000 live listeners for that show, and I haven't checked the downloads. So people want to hear you. People want to hear you, my friend. So thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Thank you for the
thank
great
you for
numbers.
Having us on.
You are good to go. So we'll talk to you next month, and I'll have you and Daryl back on. We'll do another special segment because it was such a good conversation. And again, people need to hear that. Need to hear that.
Yes.
All right. Thank you,
more
my friend.
More than one.
Yeah. Well, if it's not penetrating through, we'll just keep talking about it. We'll just keep bringing it up. All right. Thank you, my friend. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. Take care, dear. Bye.
Oh, what a good guy. What a good guy. And again, you can tune in to their show, Black and White. It's listed on our Must Listen To page at the Take Action tab at everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. And let me bring on my next guest. It is time for Michelle's Patriotic Soapbox. And joining me today, riding shotgun, is a very special guest, Dr. Pam Popper. She's the co-author of the new explosive book, COVID Operation, What Happened, Why It Happened, and What's Next. And she's also the founder of Make Americans Free Again. You can find their information on our Must Follow page because they are people that you needed to get involved with. She's also the founder of Wellness Forum Health. Audience, big round of applause for Dr. Pam Popper. They love
Hi
you,
there.
Dr. Pam Popper. Hi, how are you?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I'm awesome, and I'm so excited to talk to you. I've had you on my radar for quite some time, and I just said, you know what? This woman knows what she is talking about. She is smart, and she also took action to create an entire movement where it's more than just people getting together to support businesses, but you're talking about legislation. You're talking about real attorneys. I mean, it's like lawsuits, but then you've got the facts, and now, I mean, you hit it from every standpoint. But I honestly think you were the first one to really put something together to take a stand and to fight back. And then, of course, obviously, there's some more other ones, but you were the pioneer. And then, of course, you said, you know what? I don't like to do things kind of, half-arsed. So I'm going to go full gusto on this, and I'm going to put every category in there. So
some good news?
I don't even know where to start. Go ahead.
Well, we filed another lawsuit yesterday, and most people don't know about this yet, and it's unbelievable. Would you like to hear about it?
Yeah. Oh, no, of course. Yeah.
All right. Okay, great. So everybody is very concerned about these vaccines, and they're concerning for people of all ages, but I think that as the age range goes down, you know, they're talking about kids getting these vaccines now, and Mr. Fauci's very excited. Someday, soon, we're going to be able to give them to infants, which just makes me furious, you know. So yesterday, we filed a lawsuit against, I'll tell you who the defendants are, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, the DHHS Secretary, the DHHS Assistant Secretary for Preparedness Response, and the DHHS Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, just those, all right? What we asked for was a temporary restraining order against any existing or further authorization for the use of these vaccines in children under the age of 16 prior to the resolution of issues at our lawsuit, which will be filed very shortly. And some of the claims that we make include that the emergency use authorization should never have been granted and should be revoked immediately, that the injections are dangerous biological agents that can cause more harm than COVID-19, that numerous laws have been broken in the getting of the granting of the EUAs, and the qualifications haven't been met. We accuse Mr. Fauci of committing perjury in front of Congress. We accuse the media of colluding with the government to keep the truth away from the people. I could go on, but you get the idea. 80 pages of this beautiful, beautiful information accompanied by a lovely document that explains all of the drug money that flows to all of the people involved in making the decisions in government about vaccines. So that was yesterday morning, and we've got more planned, but that's just the latest, and I'm very excited. Very tired right now, but very excited.
No, for something like this, is it going to take years, or is at least by filing it, you're going to start seeing more media attention, you're going to start people talking about it, is there going to be something done where it can be done quickly so that they can implement their evil agenda to start jabbing these kids with an experimental non-vaccine?
Well, they're jabbing the kids now, but with a temporary restraining order, generally you get a hearing pretty soon. And a couple of things people ask me about related to some of the questions you're asking, and I'll answer those too. People say, well, why didn't you just go for the whole thing? How about the emergency use authorization for all humans? And that's a better idea, actually, but it's hard to get temporary restraining orders. And so one of the ways to increase the odds that that a judge might rule in your favor is to narrow the focus. And we had a very good argument in the complaint, the death rate statistically is 0% for children under the age of 16, which means that they have absolutely no risk from COVID-19, which means that there any risk that is being taken to give the kids these vaccines, if you want to call them that, is simply unjustifiable. So for those reasons, we went for a narrow age range. What happens when you do something like this is the mainstream media at this moment is ignoring it, but we can talk about, I think that they're on the verge of having to pay attention to stories like this because they're dying. I mean, CNN's audience is off by half. MSNBC, they're not going to be able to stay in business at their current viewership. So the best way to juice it up is sensational stories, and we're starting to be the sensational story. So we'll see what happens. But the alternative media, the real news that people listen to, like this show, right? And there are a lot of people who listen to the alternative news. They've picked up on it. I know our chief attorney, Tom Renz, is doing interviews all day today and over the weekend. And so you get this information out in the court of public opinion, you know, when people read this complaint online and that sort of thing. So how long it'll take for lawsuits to work their way through the courts, I tell people all the time, filing lawsuits is like watching paint dry, you know. But the courts are the last functioning branch of our government. I mean, God knows the governors have gone to the dark side and the legislatures are largely useless. So the courts are the place to go, and part of our strategy is just to file so many lawsuits, and all of them really go at the same thing, coming from different angles. And you only need really one good judge out there to rule in your favor on something, you know, and you're on your way. I mean, I don't need to depose Fauci 50 times. One time would just be fine, you know. So anyway, we're pretty proud of what we've done so far, and this is a fabulous piece of work. I mean, I sat down finally to just read the whole document in its entirety, and it just made me smile because all of the bad actors are in there. We even mentioned the Gates Foundation and some of the actors like that. So it's going to be interesting for sure. We will definitely be in court soon on this because we asked for a TRO.
Which is great. So the people that are wanting to see something immediate, you know, of course, Americans, it's amazing. As I mentioned earlier on the show, we're on day 400 and what did I say the day was? 431 of 15 days to slow the spread, but yet our attention span where we want instant gratification is like 8 to 9 seconds, and we want everything happening now, and you know, Amazon's got to show up here in the same day, but we still seem it's okay to be 431 days having our country shut down. So it's almost like, oh, you guys, come on, we need those common sense caps on. And
The problem with that, and this is something that people need to understand, is that this didn't start 400 and some days ago, all right? This started 100 years ago, and it goes back to the way in which medicine developed in the United States. And this is kind of an interesting story. It just takes a couple minutes to give you the summary of it. But, I mean, I have 5 hours of lecture on it, but here's the one paragraph summary. At the turn of the 20th century, medical doctors in this country made less money than the average postal worker. They had no respect from Americans at all. And we had a very thriving natural medicine community that was really effective in the United States. And so how doctors got control of medicine was not because they were better in a free market economy. It's because they used money and politics to gain control. we're the only country in the world in which they crowded out everything else that wasn't them. But also how they did it was with government. And so the partnership between medicine and government goes back a long time, and it's been escalating, and medical tyranny has been escalating for decades. And so I understand people being impatient and wanting this problem to be solved, and nobody wants it over more than me. I haven't slept in a bed all night for a year, over a year, and this is costing a fortune, so I want it over too. But we're trying to turn something around. We're trying to turn around a Titanic-sized ship in the middle of the ocean that's been going the wrong direction for a very long time. I'm confident we're going to be able to do it. But what we have to overcome is decades of passivity on behalf of Americans who watched this all unfold, many of them kind of complaining about it along the way, the vaccine mandates being a good example, but never really jumping in and saying, what do we have to do to make this stop? Well, now we have to make this stop, you know? And we're working as fast as we can, and the more people we get on board, the faster we can make it all go away.
Well, there you go. So there's your answer, everybody. There's your answer. And just be thankful that there are people out there like Dr. Pam Popper taking this initiative and sacrificing her own sanity in order to do this, to turn that Titanic, because, you know, it's gotten to the point now we're dealing with something extremely dangerous, which is this non-vaccine, this experimental. And the fact that you can comment on this. You're talking to many, many people, right? You have many people as part of your organizations. Are the parents saying, hey, I'm going to give my kid this experimental non-vaccine? Or they're just confused? I mean, I'm not getting that, you know, because
the story of issues
is just ridiculous.
Well, again, the problem isn't this. It is this, but it goes back further. Parents have been delivering their children to pediatricians to have 50-some inoculations before they go to first grade for a very long time. And they don't read the ingredients and they don't investigate anything. They do what doctors tell them to do. Now, part of the problem is that the medical profession has managed to, mainly through public relations, convince people that they're so smart and educated and this is so complicated that you have to follow directions because everyday people can't understand this. But that's ridiculous. No realtor stands in the driveway of a house and says, you're too stupid to buy a house. You don't know anything about real estate and property values and building houses and that sort of thing, so I'm going to tell you where to live. And nobody says to you at the car dealership, you know, anybody who doesn't know how to build a car can't buy one, so I'll tell you what to drive. We don't tolerate that kind of condescending nonsense from anybody. But we've tolerated it from the medical profession, and this isn't a new situation, by the way. I tell people, you know, I've been doing this for 26 years, and so pre-COVID, here's a typical thing that would happen in my world. I'd post a video making a factual statement such as the risk that a woman will be harmed by getting mammograms is 3 to 10 times higher than the chance that she will benefit. True story, I can prove it with 200-300 studies, okay? And I would write an article with maybe 50 studies, post it, and that would be it. All right, so here's what would happen. I get a lot of fan mail from people that say, thank God you're bringing attention to this. I've looked into this myself, or I was harmed by myself, whatever. Then you get people screaming all capital letters, my sister's life was saved by a mammogram. Well, maybe she didn't even have cancer, but we won't go there, right? And then I'd get a letter and angry emails from an oncologist who would say, you don't treat breast cancer patients. You have no right to say anything about this, as if there's some special statistics course for oncologists that's different from the statistics course the rest of us took to learn how to read medical studies, right? Well, actually, there is. It's one where you ignore the medical literature. That's what they teach you to do. But anyway, my point is that this whole thing of camps of people where a significant percentage of the population would do anything a doctor tells them to do, including carrying that forward to their children, including harm themselves and their children. And one great example is the number of parents who keep taking their children to pediatricians, watching their kids get sicker every year and don't even think about it. You know, it's just normal now for kids to be sick all the time. The pediatricians and the medical profession have normalized childhood illness from birth to age 18. And so most people don't stop to think, what the heck am I doing taking my child to a doctor twice a year while she or he gets sicker all the time? right? So that's what we have here. If people are befuddled by the idea that somebody would deliver their child to get a vaccine for which they have no risk of the underlying disease and which is killing 40 people a day in the United States, why would they do that? Well, because of decades and decades of what I just talked about.
It's almost like it's indoctrination, and it goes back to the science of propaganda, which started in the 1920s from the Sigmund Freud. And, of course, once it got into the government, it got into the CIA, and the next thing you know, it's into the corporations, and boom, this is where then the medical throws in. And it seems like that's the pattern, as you described that
right.
story, of when that, you know, that process, that messaging, all these, I call them the 13 bigs, they all come together and is there to craft an agenda against
right.
you know, it's against we the people and against the common sense. And, you had mentioned some of that information when I saw you at the Truth Over Fear Summit, the COVID-19 and the Great Reset, and talking about your book and really the, like I said, the brainwashing of people. And Dr. Larry Pilevsky was on Wednesday, and he's all about critically thinking. And he was talking about false authorities where people have put so much confidence and faith into these entities, these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. But then they have people like you where that's why I wish they would have more faith and confidence in those type of messages. But I think people are starting to come around. It's just, like you said, it's years and years taking these kids to these doctors. And like you said, they're getting sicker. They're getting sicker. And that's fact,
yeah.
Anyone that's listening. She's not just making allegations to support the conversation. And I learned about that during that Truth Over Fear Summit, especially about the real vaccines and the increase in how much children have chronic disease over the years. It's now like 54% of them have chronic disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this is scary. But the parents still keep, giving them the other vaccinations, which they know that there's problems with. And all the doctors, and I want to give you all, you've all come together, which is awesome. I mean, Dr. Northrup and Dr. Merritt and Sherry Tenpenny, I mean, all of you have created, like this awesome club of truth bombers that are just out there freedom fighting for Americans. So you're just doing amazing, amazing work delivering the truth.
Thank you. Thanks. We're doing our best, and we're doing our best to be strategic about this. I mean, one of the things that I feel like I'm the disciplinarian of the movement, because I come from a business background before I was in healthcare, and I've built large organizations and business, and I built a large healthcare company, and so one of the things that I've been working on with Make Americans Free Again is putting together strategies and methods of going about addressing this, that let's settle down and let's be real strategic about this. Let's not be so quick to act, but when we act, let's make sure that we're doing something that really has a chance of succeeding. Less action, but more effective action, if that makes sense. And then getting people engaged in things where we can feel like we win at it. I feel like one of the things that made people so sideways, particularly throughout last year, was everybody was angry. Boy, I was too. I don't blame people for being angry. And then you start this, we got to do something. We got to do something right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get a bunch of people together and we'll sign a declaration. And we'll get a bunch of people together and we'll just file a lawsuit. And just sort of, that throw things against the wall, hoping something will stick. And it's not a real good strategy for fighting with an organized plan like this is. And so we've gone about this a little bit differently and said, look, we're gonna really think things through. I think we have one of the best attorneys, the best legal mind that I've ever met is Tom Renz, and he's just a very methodical thinker. And, he takes a lot of time to think about strategy. What are we really trying to do here? Where are the vulnerabilities? And by the time he produces a document with his team of lawyers, it's really a great lawsuit that's winnable and that gets to the heart of the matter and that sort of thing. And then on the organizing the ground game, which is a part of it that I spend a lot of time on, same thing. Let's get people together. Let's get them doing things like saving our local businesses and that sort of thing that actually we can win doing instead of let's write to our legislators why. Like, that's going to make a difference. I mean, when people say, let's write to our legislators, I think, I don't know, I think I'm going to lay down and read a magazine before I'm going to spend time
right.
on that because, well, and you
let's
know something,
at the wall.
It's not, yeah, it's not that I'm not into activism. I mean, I spend all my daytime on activism, but the legislatures have proven to be really disconnected from acting on behalf of the people, as have been the mayors and the county commissioners. And I mean, we've just seen how disconnected these people are and how much they do not perceive that they're working for the people. And one of the most egregious examples of this, I watched that Senate hearing that happened a few years ago in California. And it was the bill that mandated vaccines for kids to go to school in California. And at this particular hearing, 53 people stepped up to the microphone to say that they were in favor of this bill, and over 1,490 people stepped up one at a time and said that they were against it. And at the end of the day, they voted for it anyway. And it was just a remarkable demonstration of the fact that they absolutely – there are notorious exceptions, but I'm talking about as a body of people. They don't care about you or me or our businesses or our children or our schools or our communities or our health. They care about one thing, and that's being there, right? And so when I was starting all this last year, I thought, if that's all they care about, then that's going to be our leverage. And I'm looking forward to the day when our database is so full of names, 80 million is my target, that we can sort those names by district, and particularly in an election year, sit down with them and say, listen, you won your election by 2,000 votes. I have boxes with 19,000 registered voters out here in the hallway. If you don't do what I say, we're taking you out. Because that means something to them. That's what they understand, you know. And I never thought it would come to the day. That's all they care about. And I'm a person who spent an enormous amount of time with legislators trying to educate them and bring in scientific articles and all that kind of, I'm done with all that nonsense. They just don't care about that. What they care about is being there. And particularly our state legislators, I've been watching this for a while, and it's not just Ohio, it's everywhere. What the legislature has become is a landing place for people to prepare for something better. Like, you can run for attorney general or governor or Congress or whatever. Or you get appointed, like in Ohio, we have all these boards you can get appointed to, like the Liquor Control Board, and you get to go to 3 meetings a year and stay at the Hyatt and get paid $80,000. Now, here's the deal. You want to know how you qualify for that? You don't make anybody angry.
I want to sign up.
You don't make anybody angry. And the best way to make nobody angry is to do nothing, right? You just sit there, and then you're bound to get some plum assignment later. Now, again, there are exceptions to the rule. In our legislature, we have a handful of people who care. But it isn't enough people to get anything done. And the complete disconnect, I mean, the governors of the states who did this, who have become emperors and empresses, I'm the person who started calling them that, they have just demonstrated day after day at their press conferences while they put on this charade that you and I and other people who are smart and read know is nothing but an acting job, and know that they're harming people and they don't care. They just don't care. So we'll take them out.
You're much more eloquent in your description of them. I have words that get beeped. Right, sometimes. you're a doctor. You have to use more colorful words that get the same point across.
We all have some colorful words we'd like to use, and I try to refrain from using them. But their behavior is so egregious, it kind of speaks for itself. You don't really need much in the way of descriptors in addition to just watching their press conferences, you know.
Yeah, play the videotape. Play the videotape. You could see it right there. Like in Arizona, it's a perfect – what you're describing to everybody is it happens – all over the place in every single layer. It's just that over the past year and a half, we've actually kind of seen more of it in our face because we're finally paying attention and going, this has been going on for a while. I just didn't know because I was busy with life and things like that. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know how corrupt – I'm in Mayor Corruption County, Arizona, like the hot spot, right? And I had no idea. The corruption here was that bad. I knew it was an old boys network because, you know, we had McCain and Symington. You know, those guys actually went to jail. McCain didn't. He got out of going. But the rest of the Klan went. So we have an old school type of corruption in old boys network. But I had no idea how bad it was currently until all of this, you know, after the 3rd of November started happening. And
well,
now
you know,
I'm becoming, it's crazy.
That's the benefit. And I think that, you know, I wrote a couple of things I'll share with you. I wrote in my book a chapter called The Perfect Storm, the things that had to come together for this debacle to happen. And then I also wrote in my book, and I've talked about this on my videos, I went through a phase last year, and I think most people did, where I was kind of pining for my February life. I remember February before this all started, and we were all doing things like buying tickets to the symphony and planning for the arts festival and all that kind of stuff. And then I realized, I had this epiphany one day, that I didn't want to go back to my February life. And the reason is that February was a time when this could happen, right? And what we have to do is we have to fix this, and we have to make sure it can never happen again. And how that will take place, in my opinion, there are a lot of things we have to do, lawsuits, we have to bring these people to justice, and we have to rebuild our schools and our communities and all that kind of stuff. But we have to rebuild many of our institutions differently. And I think sometimes it's easier to blow it up and start from scratch than it is to fix it. I mean, I'm 64 years old, and as long as I can remember being aware of this kind of stuff, I've heard about education reform. Have you seen any real education reform? I haven't. I've heard about medical, fixing the medical system. It gets more expensive every year. It gets worse every year. I've heard about, you know, the corruption in government. It gets worse, not better. Well, maybe it just had to get this bad for a lot of people to say, I'm going to do something about it. And I have to say that, you know, I get a pretty good feel for the personality of people if they write me emails beyond just sign me up for something, if they give me a little bit more information. And I'm sensing in our, you know, the people responding to us that we're getting an awful lot of people who've never been real active in anything, but they're saying, you know what, I never did anything like this before, but if you want me to start a Thursday group, I'll start a Thursday group. You want me to sign up for something, I'll sign up for something. It's time for me to get involved. And I think that that's a very important message to get across to people who are listening to this, is that we've always thought, and I've felt prey to this too, that you sign up, you put your name and your email address into a database, and you send $25 or $100 or $1,000, whatever it is, and boy, that's getting involved, right? No, it's actually not, all right? In that model, a lot of people sign up, and then a handful of people are supposed to go fix this and report back about the great job they did. Well, they never fixed it, did they? So
no,
what we have
made
to
it worse.
Do now, and I'm what we have to do now, I tell this every Thursday at noon, I do a conference call to help people understand what's going on and how to get involved and help us to help them to free ourselves, right? And I say, listen, this is one of these deals where I'm working and I'm asking you to work too. We all are equals here. And 12 people in Ohio can't fix this for you, so you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and go to work. And this will be different because of the fact that you're willing to do that. You wouldn't be on this call if you didn't know that we had to do something different. And so I'm sensing that feeling of different kind of engagement than we have had in the past. And we're going to have to continue to talk about that and to demand that engagement if we want things to be better.
But at least it's starting. It's starting more so than, and it's growing, and it's happening in these different states. People are going to the Board of Education meetings. I mean, you probably heard about the one we had here the other day that got a little hairy. Well, that's because they didn't want to wear their mask, and the board just couldn't handle that. It was here in Scottsdale, and of course, Vail, Arizona, they took over the board, kicked them out because they all walked
that's
out and
exactly.
then they elected themselves. So that's what
yep,
needs
that's exactly
to
what has to happen. That's exactly right. We got to start. They need to, that is showing them you're not in charge. We are in charge. And we elected you, we can unelect you. And we can decide that, and I'm going to organize, one of the things I'm planning to work on this summer is that, and again, we have to cripple institutions that don't serve us, right? We have to cripple them and make them do what we say. And I think we need to have in every school system a group of parents that is big enough that on a single day, they're organized, and on a single day, if the school system does anything that they don't like, They send a certified letter in unison, every single family, saying, my child will not be in school tomorrow and will not be coming back until you fix fill in the blank. It can be some type of curriculum issue. It can be masks. It can be standing on circles or eating lunch facing the wall, whatever the heck it is. That's what we have to do, right? And if you cripple, how you cripple the school system is withdraw enough kids that they financially can't afford to stay open. And you know, this nonsense would stop in an afternoon. And that's what we have to do. That's the biggest problem we've had is that last year in Ohio, if we had had the right numbers in a database, if I had had the foresight to know that this was coming, which how could anybody know except for the people who planned it, but if I had known that and I had gathered all these names, I would have been able to force, we were the model state, okay, Ohio, I don't know if you know that, Ohio was the model state for this whole thing. So if I
really?
Had the numbers, and the reason why, I'll tell you why that was, we were the first to shut down, we were the first to close schools, we were the first to close bars and restaurants, the first to do everything. And the reason was they needed a governor in a conservative state who was at the time very popular, who would be good on all of the networks. Okay, so you can't put Gavin Newsom on. He wouldn't agree to be on Fox News, all right?
Right.
And, of course, some of those people just are not very good spokespeople even on other networks. So they needed a spokesperson who would be good for all networks, and DeWine fit the bill, our governor. All right, so so anyway, if we had had the numbers, I could have, and I would have been happy to do it, I could have gone down there because there were some legislators that wanted to impeach DeWine. And they couldn't get the votes. But if we had been able to force them to do it, it was an election year for crying out loud. They sat there and watched this happen, did nothing about it, cried on TV, oh, everybody's so sad about all the devastation, did nothing about it. We could have said to them, you're going to get rid of our little emperor. Our little, and he is little, yeah, you can hardly see over the top of the lectern. You're going to get rid of our little emperor, we're going to get rid of you. And if Ohio had gone down, the whole rest of the country would have gone down too. So my whole point in telling that story is we have got to organize. We've got to develop a database of 80 million people. We've got to have the ability at the local level to have so many parents withdraw their kids from school on a single day that the school system is no longer financially viable. We've got to have the ability to march down with pallets of boxes of registered voters and tell the little useless people in our legislature, you're going to do what we say today or you're getting out of here. Next year is an election year. If we're in this situation again next year, shame on us, right? We have to do something about it so we are not in this situation next year.
But that's what American or Make Americans Free Again has been doing. Like, you guys actually have infrastructure. You have things in place where people are meeting. And Jenny's here in Arizona where they do, and I've been checking in on the Facebook page. There's multiple locations where people are meeting on Thursdays to not come together just to say, hi, let's be friends. I mean, they're actually coming together to create, take action. Yeah, they're doing physical things and strategizing and coming up with things like, who's going to go to this board of supervisors meeting? Who's going to, what school districts can we go to next? And then also
The business support is the most important thing. And with things opening up, that doesn't really change. In other words, here in Ohio, the little emperor had no choice but to open up. He was facing the legislature doing it. And the other thing he was facing was another day in court with us. He lifted the emergency. And you notice they're all lifting the emergency now because they don't want – that's the way we filed our original case. But all the other cases we're filing go to, you know, dealing with all this underlying crap anyway. But my point in all of this is that even opening up, some of the businesses have been so devastated by reduced capacity and all that kind of stuff, they still need our help. We still have got to make it a point to those of us who can to spend money in places. So I just did that. I went out for lunch for the first time today maskless. I've never worn a mask since the beginning, but they've loosened up now. You can actually go out to lunch. And so some friends and I had lunch at a restaurant that I know has suffered a lot. And, under normal circumstances, I would eat here at the office. I own a food service operation, for crying out loud, but we have to spread the money around to people who need it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I have bought more food from other people. I mean, I love our food here, and I don't have to do anything. I can even just, like, call somebody, and they bring it to me from the other side of the building. So having said that, I probably spent $4,000 on takeout food in the last 6 or 8 months. Man, I'm happy to do that, by the way. I'm happy to do it. But we all have to make that commitment to support our neighbors and to help dig ourselves out of this. The government has no plan for restoring our communities. The government has plans to further destroy our communities, not restore our communities, right? So we have to be the people who are doing the restoring.
Yeah, because the government is the one who started destroying them and continues to destroy them.
They don't want us to be back to normal at all. And this temporary reprieve, we cannot get lulled into a sense of this is over. It's not over. And one of my Thursday group members said last week, he said the two words we could never say in the near future is mission accomplished. And the other two words that we must repeat often is never again. And I think he was right about that.
Yeah, because there's a lot that's just starting to seep in. I mean, we haven't even touched the topics of the vaccine passport yet, where that's starting already in multiple states at different levels, where they're segregating people from, in New York, you go to a baseball game and you have a vaccinated section and an unvaccinated section. Are you kidding me?
That's fixable. That's fixable. And some of it, people get all, everybody needs to calm down and first of all, watch what's happening and then get involved in helping us, okay? So the first thing is that the vaccine passport is going to die on the vine for this reason. At least 50% of the states have legislatively or through executive order said it's not going on. It's not going to happen. All right, so Ron DeSantis did this in Florida. I think they actually did pass a law following up on it. So the cruise ships are floating around in the Caribbean with no place to go because they can't dock because they're demanding the vaccine. So they're going to end up having to pick people up in Boston Harbor, which is going to double the price of the cruise. And sooner or later, that's just going to come to an end. All right. If you look at what's going on, so the vaccine passport as a ticket for operating a business or whatever, it's going to end up being a very local thing, if at all, if it sticks at all, because with half of the country and more states are all the time saying we're not going to do this, it isn't going to have any panache. I mean, if you can go lots and lots of places without it, you'll just stay away from the places that require it. When you look at what's happening to businesses, okay, the media is in deep trouble. They've lost their audience, but businesses have gotten in trouble buying into all this nonsense too. I thought it was hysterical that Pepsi decided that their business was soft drinks and they're just going to keep making and selling soft drinks. Coke decided that its business was being woke. All right, so they hired a whole staff of woke people to promote wokeness. I guess you have to be particularly brand of woke to drink Coke, right? Well, anyway, Pepsi's stock went up 9%. Coke's went down 23%. So Coke fired the woke people and said, maybe we'll just be in the soft drink business. So the point that I'm making is that everybody, that we've got to stop having hysteria as the reaction to all of this, and we first have to take a really good objective look at what's going on because some of these things are fixing themselves. The other thing is we have to take a really good look at what am I going to do to help solve the problem. And I try not to sound like a school marm scolding people, but there are a couple of things that I do want to say. One is please stop complying with this nonsense and asking me to fix it for you, all right, because you make it harder. It's like, I mean, there's nothing, that, you know, there are a lot of things I didn't do during this because I refused to comply, all right, and people complying makes it harder for us to do what we're doing. So stop complying, and if everybody stopped complying at the same time, gosh, it would have been over with last year too. And the other thing is if you're upset about it, then let's join with us. Help us. We're doing something about this. We've demonstrated we're doing something about this. We have been successful at a number of different things. So join us and help, all right? And if we can just get those messages out to everybody, I think we can stay calmer and be a lot more effective.
And that's the key to this, because there are many moving parts of what is kind of going sideways or what you're hearing depending on where you're listening So, and like you, your perfect example, you know, people say, oh, well, write your congressman, write your state representative. That's not going to really accomplish that much.
No.
So focus
sign
on
a
the
petition.
Feet.
Waste the
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Sign the.
And by, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, just focus on the key low-hanging fruit items where you can make a difference. That's why your lawsuit that you filed was very specific and strategic to get that TRO rather than making it much more broad, which then you just do, maybe you do 10 of them. But, you know, you have to, there's strategies to all this, to what works. And you'd also said some of these things are just going to fix themselves. Like you're talking about the companies and the products and even the cruise lines. So there are things
yeah.
where you don't have to focus your time and energy on and get all riled up about it. And the good thing about Make Americans Free Again is you've kind of already done the heavy lifting and the homework on where the time and effort needs to be focused so then that you mm-hmm. can get the biggest and most effective impact once you bring all these people together. So that things
right.
can be done quickly, right? So working
right.
smart, not hard, because everybody wants, you know, people want to do something. And they keep saying something. I don't want, you know, don't use the word something. We need specifics. But
right.
a lot, that's what you've been working on for a long time. And that's why I want people to understand this is a very different organization or a group or a movement than what you might be seeing other places, because it's targeted as to what can be done for,
I
don't want to say immediate results, but quick results.
Well, it's quick is not the issue. It's effective, and I think, you know, I'm a practical person, and I'm also at a stage in my life where, if I'm going to take this on, I mean, I have a couple of choices. I had a couple of choices when this started. I certainly have the resources to just leave and go someplace that is not where this isn't going on. There are places in the world to live that have been unaffected by this. So, if I'm going to take it on, I want to do something that can work. And also, again, just I'm a practical person, so to solve a problem, you have to look at what's been done in the past to try to solve the problem, and if it hasn't worked, don't do it anymore. And I think it's really important to stress that I think that what didn't work before, it had nothing to do with the good intentions of the people who did this stuff. They were very well-intentioned, and I know people personally who put their life, all of their effort and a lot of their money into trying to solve some of these problems we're talking about. But the bottom line at the end of the day, it didn't work. So what we have to do is not that, and we have to turn around and do what will work. And so by default, this issue of overwhelming them with numbers, using the legal system because the courts are the last functioning branch of government. And people say, well, but, you know, the judges are corrupt. Not all of the judges are corrupt. And there are some interesting cases, I mean, that go beyond, you know, Make Americans Free Again and get into some of the political things that are going on. But some very interesting and good decisions have come from judges even in some unlikely places. I mean, if you follow Dr. Shiva's case in Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts is not exactly where you would expect to find a judge who would be on, you know, a fair judge in mm-hmm. terms of election fraud, but this guy is a superstar in terms of impartiality, good rulings, et cetera. And so there are bad judges and there are bad courts and there are bad everything, but we don't have to succeed every time. We have to succeed once, because getting the discovery, this is what they're fighting. They don't want us to have the documents. There's a very interesting case in Ohio, by the way, that was won by an advocate to get the death data for COVID and all other death statistics for the state of Ohio, and they're just refusing to turn it over. Well, there's only one reason why they'd refuse. It's because they know they're committing fraud and they don't want it to be exposed, right? So, but having said that, the court has ruled in favor of the plaintiff who has won the right to access these records. So there are good judges. We only need a few of them to get our way. And once we get our way, we're on our way to getting our freedom back.
Yeah, and then their narrative falls apart and people see the truth about how this political propaganda plandemic so it's all planned and started and then, you know, still continues. So like you said, you have to collapse and cripple these institutions and, in order to start over. So mm-hmm. what do you want people to do, Dr. Pam Popper? What do you want them to do?
Well, I'll put out some things. First of all, my email address is pampopper@msn.com. And if you want to sign up, I put out a newsletter that's free on Monday. I put out 4 videos a week, also free, Tuesday through Friday. I hold a conference call every Thursday to train people on how to join our group and become active with us and get started in their area. Start a group. There should be millions of, we call them Thursday groups, but you can actually meet any time. There should be millions of these groups and millions of people who are basically united under one principle that we all agree on. We don't want medical tyranny. We want the right to decide what to do with our bodies and, by extension, our minor children, right? That's it. There's nothing to disagree with there. We try to stay away from everything else. So get active with our movement, and the faster we grow, the sooner this is over, because the more resources we have. We're getting ready to sue a lot of retailers and airlines. Mm. I mean, there's no end to the work to be done, and how much money it's going to cost is awesome. But when I was in the direct sales business, I used to tell people, many hands make light work. Lots of members means tiny donations add up to a lot, right? With 80 million
yeah.
people, if everybody puts in a buck, we can do almost anything we want. So help us grow big. Get your name in there. Let us represent you. It's very difficult to throw your weight around if you don't have the ability to demonstrate that you represent the right number of people. I made a video. I've made a couple of videos that got a lot of response, particularly one was when I talked about don't do things that support this whole nonsense, and everybody's saying, oh, my gosh, people used to write to me all day long about Costco. Stop going there, right? I've never been in a Costco, for the record, and as far as I know, it has not caused any diminishing of my quality of life by never going in the place. And then the second thing is join with us and help us, you know, help us do something about this. And I talked about on another video, what could 80 million people do? Well, 80 million people could threaten to not go to Costco, and that would have made them stop last year. 80 million people could refuse to fly on the airlines till they quit this nonsense, and then it would be over with, right? We wouldn't even have to file a lawsuit. So if we get the right numbers of people, and only you guys can help do it, I don't have any way to magically make this happen, but if we get the right number of people, there is no limit to what we can do, and we can get control of our government back again. Because 80 million people in this country, that's more than what it takes to elect a president of the United States. We can certainly control local politics with 80 million people.
Well, and of course, 80 million people did vote for Trump in November. So it's interesting that number keeps popping up.
Well, I was using it long before the election, because I think it's that critical mass and by the way, when I talk about throwing your weight around, I'm not really a power-hungry person, but I am all for consumer advocacy, and I am all for restoring the rights of the people to be able to say to their elected officials and to anybody else, including national chains and this sort of thing, this is not acceptable. We're not doing this, and there's so many of us that you will have no choice but to cave to our demands. And really, we're not asking for anything all that extraordinary. We're asking that politicians do the will of the people. We are asking that stores and financial institutions and people who we give our money to respect our constitutional rights. That's not a tall ask. It's a shame that we have to go through all this to get those rights back. But if we don't go through all this and we give up those rights, I don't think we're going to like the world we live in. So we're sort of at an interesting time right now where we're either going to solve this problem or not. And my recommendation is let's get together and solve it, because the alternative is kind of ghastly.
Yeah, we're staring at the alternative if we don't do anything, mm-hmm. because their agenda has been moving along very quickly since January,
yep.
with trillions of dollars behind it. So,
yep.
you know, it's time that everybody stops saying, I want to do something, and physically go to makeamericansfreeagain.com. Is it rights.com?
That's right.
Yeah, and start there. Sign up, get the newsletter. And get involved. Check out if there's a Thursday group. If not, you could start one, and then the information then and the collaboration, you'll be able to get more involvement, especially in all these local levels. And of course, as we always tell everybody, stop supporting the companies that hate you and hate this country.
Right.
So don't spend your money if you know they don't like you. Don't go
I know it's difficult not to go on like a Facebook platform because they hate you too. So try to wean yourself off of that. That one's a little tough for people, but all in good time. But yeah, that's just, you've got to be more aware and support small business. Yes, Amazon might be a little more convenient, but come on. I mean, it's okay. You can go to the store. You don't have to wear the mask anymore to go in. And you didn't have to really do that anyway. You didn't have to comply. So, everybody got lazy and just said, we just put our hands up in the air and said, okay, I'll surrender. I don't know. Never again, as you said, never again. Is there anything else that you want to share, Doctor? Well, actually, I do want to ask you one question. Do you sleep like more than an hour a night?
I don't sleep very much. I've always been a short sleeper. And by the way, this idea everybody needs 7 hours of sleep a night is ridiculous. Some people need more, some people need less. There are short, medium, and long sleepers. And by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with intellect. Einstein was a long sleeper. Edison was a short sleeper. The benefit of being a short sleeper is that you don't have to sleep much. You have a lot more time. And isn't it good for our side that the leader of this movement doesn't need a lot of sleep? So if this had to fall into somebody's lap, it fell into mine, right? But I do take care of myself. I haven't missed any running or yoga or gym workouts or anything since has started, and I've been eating well. I don't have a lot of time off, and that's okay. There will be a time for that again. But it's interesting how recreational it is to connect with people, even if you're talking about this, right? I've met so many interesting people. So on the one hand, you could say, oh, well, we're thinking of having a new state join our organization here, so we're going to have a conference call on Tuesday, so Pam's working. Well, I guess you could call it working, but I find it really interesting to meet people, and I have an awful lot of new friends who I think have the relationships that I've developed with those people are actually much more, there's more depth to them than some of the people who we've disconnected from, because we found some of our friends don't think very much, and it's hard to have a relationship with people who don't think, right? So, this long answer to your question, but not a lot of sleeping, I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, I'm up for 5 more years of this, if this is what it takes.
Well, hopefully
one
it won't
last
take
thing
that
I'll
long.
Say, read my book. I still think, what I'm finding interesting, and not to toot my horn too much, but I sent my book to the publisher last August, all right, to be printed. And in that book, everything they're talking about on Tucker Carlson with the Wuhan lab, the gain of function, what Dr. Fauci did, the whole nine yards, it's all in that book. We wrote this last August, right? And so we really did dig up and tell the truth of how this all happened. And there really isn't anything I wrote last August that has proven to not be true now that we are in May of the following year. And so I think it's an easy read from the standpoint that I write in a way that it's very well referenced, and you can certainly read a lot of science if you choose to delve into the references, but I'm known for writing things in a way that makes very complex stuff easy for people to understand. So I'll recommend that people read the book. It's still the best way to figure out the whole story, to know the whole story.
And to also keep in mind of when you were telling the full story and now all of a sudden the media decides to act like it's just something they found out yesterday.
Yeah, breaking,
I think that
story
says a lot
about the gain-of-function research. We were talking about it last August. We published this book in early September. So
anyway. I think it was one of your videos, and I started finding out about it in maybe September. It was in September. So when I see these things on the news, I'm like, that's literally, guys, you're like 8 months, almost a year behind what the rest of the world is. And that's when hopefully the light bulb will go on for some people to say, you know what, that's the ones you kind of need to turn off. That's not where you're going to get your information. You gotta go to these alternative sources who are much smarter, like Dr. Pam Popper and her organization. And of course, you don't want to forget about the Wellness Forum Health. So it's amazing how many things you have going on. You even own a food services company. I mean, is there any category of something you're not doing?
if it has to do with health, we're doing it. We even own it. We own a school. We teach health professionals how to do what we do, which is informed medical decision making. We have a yoga studio and a gym. I mean, I 1 mile from my home is my office, where everything that I need for the rest of my life is here. If I never left the building, it would be fine.
That's the way to grow a business, is to keep adding things that you need for every aspect of your life. So
yeah, and if somebody else wants to take advantage of it, great. But I'm doing great. You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Here, so.
Yeah, and we're here to support you. I've added you to our must-follow page. I'm joining up with Jenny. I'm going to have her on the show. I'm going to get very active here in Arizona. I'm going to encourage people to get involved with the organization during every episode. You know, part of our Take Action crew, we're going to have you as part of our Take Action toolkit here on the Patriotic Purpose-Driven Resource Platform. So anything that I could do, and of course, I'm going to be encouraging other groups to start connecting with you too. Because everybody's like-minded and on the same page. There's no reason why everybody's not working together. And that's what I'm trying to do on this platform, is stick everybody together. So then everybody
We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And then, I just think what you're doing is amazing. I think you are beyond the Energizer Bunny. Such a smart woman. And, I'd love to have you back on when you have, you know, a little bit of that non-free time.
Of course. Absolutely happy to do it.
Yeah, you are really awesome. You are definitely one of the most inspiring people that I've had on the show, and I have just been paying attention to since I've had my own little great awakening, which started in November. So, it's just it's been awesome having you on here, and I can't wait to be more active with Make Americans Free Again. So I'm excited.
Thank you.
Anything else? Are we good to go? I mean, I know I've gotten you much longer than I was supposed to.
Well, no, we're good. You're very thorough, and thank you for giving me this much time.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. And I'll be in touch. I'm going to do some intros, and I'm going to get Jenny on here too. I want this thing to be huge in Arizona, and we can do that. There's a lot of groups here that all need to be a part of it. So we're going to stick together. We're going to work together, everybody. How awesome. Dr. Pam Popper, thank you so much for everything you're doing. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, what an amazing woman. She really has taken this to a whole new level. But you know, the thing that's amazing that she keeps saying that she was a practical person. She's talking about using and having effective results and doing it the smart way, you know, and working smarter, not harder. And this is an interview that I would love for everybody to listen to a couple times, because I think it's going to not only inspire you to do something, but it's also going to make you think about what are you going to do? Where are you going to put your time in if you're going to take action in your life and in your community? It kind of gives you an idea on how to rethink on some of it. She actually just kind of spun me around when I brought up, the vaccine passport. She's just like, oh, Michelle, not necessarily focus on that one. Look at this other stuff. I said, it does make sense. And I know we do promote going ahead and contacting your congressman and doing the petitions, which I kind of agree with her that might not be the best use of her time, which we haven't been promoting that much, because I want you to be effective with your time. You don't have a lot of free time, and if you're going to make a sacrifice to do something different, right, and to get involved and take action, I want to make sure you're using your highest and best use of time. So it's still on the website for anybody if that's what they want to do. The petitions are there, and the contact information for the Congress people and all the different politicians, right? Politicians, anybody that's elected or in government at every level, that's always on the Take Action tab. You'll see that there with that special section for Arizona. And it's there for as a resource if you need it. I mean, and if that's what you want to do, or we have a special call out if it's important, then what they will, it's there as a resource. And maybe that's what some people want to do, but I kind of do agree with her. I'd rather people spend their time being a little bit more active, but for the ones that don't and they can't, then that is an option for you. Remember I said, we're going to give you all of the different opportunities to take action, to grow your business, enhance the quality of your life, make a difference, especially in your communities at every effort level. So from moving your finger to just clicking something, right? If that's all you want to do, then that's going to be there. To becoming a little bit more active and being a part of any of these must-follow groups, right? Groups, organization, people, companies that are going to be part of our Take Action Toolkit, which we're working on here, putting together with all these different groups and amazing people. So you can have some really specific strategic items that you'll be able to reference quickly. And and or if you're going to become a precinct committee man, which I'm a huge proponent of. I joined a couple months ago. We had our meeting last week, which was, oh my God, awesome, right? That's where I gave you all that information from Liz Harris about her canvassing update. Oh, that kind of segues me into this soundbite that I want to play for you. All right, it's 1:58, so I'm not going to go very long, but I do want to I'm jumping all over the place. I wasn't finished with what I was saying, and I want to be, again, I want to make great use of your time. So just back to the precinct committee, ma'am, because it's important. Just here in District 23, I'm in LD23 in Merrick Corruption County, Arizona. We've got about 200 spots left in our legislative district. So apparently this year we've filled like 800 spots, which is the most they've ever had, which is awesome. That means people are doing something. They're getting active. Remember, the concept of the whole precinct committee, ma'am, is the infrastructure of the way the system was designed. It's similar to how the founding fathers designed the Constitution, where it actually makes it makes sense, right? So it's one thing that they put the foundation, the fundamentals in there, and that's what the precinct committee man structure is. So you can become a precinct committee man in Arizona, or at least in LD23, and in the Merrick Corruption County, it's very easy. The information, go to the Take Action tab, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. Go to Take Action tab. You'll see the page there for Become a Precinct Committee Man. If it's in Merrick Corruption County, it's very, very easy. I gave specific information. If it's outside of our county, Corruption County, then there's a couple extra steps. And then there is the information. If it's out of this state, we're going to direct you over to Dan Schultz with the Precinct Project. And he's been on the show multiple times. That way you'll be able to go to his site and then get the information on how it's done. But really, a lot of the times you don't have to get elected, depending on what time of the year it is or what year it is. It starts with an email or a phone call to who's in charge of that legislative district, like the chairperson in Arizona here. It's very, very easy. So as I'm saying, that is how you move. We then are obviously canvassing, knocking on doors, finding out what the constituents need, what their problems are, giving them information. And then when it comes time to vote, we're electing the people that are in the upflow in the system. So that way you can get rid of the people higher up that are more of the, elected elite or rhino or Republicans with their ideology and motives and agendas. So you can clean them out, you know, like Ron McDaniel and Kevin McCarthy, and a majority of the people in elected office in our Congress. You know, I'm not a big fan of most of them. There's a handful besides the notorious MTG that I would kind of give a chance to make their case and give them a little bit of credit. But really, she's the only one that I have a tremendous amount of respect for that I trust. The rest of them, there's a few that I would, like I said, I let them make their case, but most of them just spineless, worthless, and they're part of the swampy swamp, not looking out for you, not sticking up for you, have no use for you, the American people. Okay, well, 202, let me cover anything else. I have some current things for breaking news. Bear with me 1 second. This is important. Let me do breaking news, and then I'm going to wrap it up because I am going to the rally tonight. I'm headed over to the rally in Mesa, America First Rally in Mesa with the notorious MTG Matt Gaetz. And Andy Biggs, I believe, is going to be there, Paul Kosar, and a couple others that you will recognize. And I'm sure everybody who wants to be their friend and pretend that they're actually, America First Republicans, they will be there trying to be a part of the photo opportunity to say that they are, you know, they're riding those coattails, because I believe in the first quarter, MTG raised something like $5 million, which is the most person, she raised the most money. If anybody in, at least on the Republican side, could have been the Democrat side too. So everybody wants to, they want to be her friend when it comes to people that are sending money. But then of course they're not helping sponsor her bills or stick up for her when she's back in the swampy swamp. So Yeah, I remember we talked about that yesterday's or Wednesday's episode, episode 213, which I made a special segment. So if you wanted to listen to her portion, you can. And that's on all the listening platforms, the homepage, you'll see it. For those people, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, we had mentioned that she has a couple of really great bills for legislation that are really well written. And she's having trouble with Republicans getting on board. And then, of course, you probably most of you have already heard that she was going to vote no on that fake insurrection January 6th. What do they call it? It's not a hearing. Oh, like, you know, like a ridiculous investigative group, you know, like they did the Mueller investigation. I can't think of it off the top of my head. It doesn't matter, but you know what I'm talking about. They, she said no, because what it's going to do is just going to stir up the messaging and agenda and give an excuse to constantly say how the Trump supporters are all insurrectionists and they're racist and they're white supremacists. And, you know, keep in mind, the only person that got shot was an unarmed woman who was a veteran by a Capitol Police person. I'm assuming it's a man. I don't say person because apparently you can't use man or woman anymore. You got to cover them a person. That nobody knows who the person is, and they don't know why they shot her. So she was unarmed. So that's the only person that got shot, and that was the only gun that they seemed to be having a in the pictures, other than that, like the full on, you know, troops that came in. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the Capitol Police or whatever military, you know, entourage that came in. But none of the people that were there, you know, these quote-unquote insurrectionists. What did I say? I said I think I said it like an erection. Oh, that is not where my head is. So I don't know where that one came from. But anyway, they passed that. There was 35 Rhino spineless Republicans that joined on and said that they thought that'd be a good idea too. That would be a good idea if you actually had the right people that were in the part of doing the investigation. But again, it doesn't really, if you think about it, why are you going to have an investigation? Which the people that actually have all the information are the ones who want the investigation, right? So if the Capitol Police are involved and the people in charge of the Capitol Police are the people in Congress, so the information that they need would be from the Capitol Police and all the other, say, entities, but they're in charge of them. So why do you need this big investigation? I mean, I don't know, what are they investigating? They're not going to investigate the truth and what really happened, because nobody that's going to be on this commission is wanting to talk about that. I mean, I guarantee you nobody there would ever bring up the multiple articles that Darren Beatty has written in the Revolver, which you might want to check that out if you go to, right back to the website, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com, take action tab. You will see patriotic media, all kinds of alternative media that Dr. Pam Popper was talking about that are actually people are paying attention. You know, there's publications and their shows and things like that. Most of the shows are also on the must listen to page, right? But if you go to the patriotic media, you'll see all of them there. That's who you click on to get your message. You get your information, get your facts. So he's written some incredible and then broke some great stories about the facts behind all of that on the 6th, just nothing. It's the complete opposite of what you're hearing on the mainstream and coming out of these politicians' mouths. So that's the part that I find interesting, that they want to have an investigation when they're the ones holding all the information. So what are they going to investigate? They're going to go and dig deeper into the one, the one grandma who happened to be going to the grocery store outside of DC on the 6th because she had nothing. She wasn't even in the area, but they want to, pull in bodies. And then, of course, notorious MTG did mention that there's another 100 people that they're going to be arresting. And then they put these people in prison in solitary confinement. And then, of course, maybe they were being charged with trespassing. So insurrection and trespassing. And most of them just walked in. It's just they're stirring the pot because they want the message back, the agenda, so they can vilify
anybody who's a Trump supporter, anybody who loves this country, anybody who loves God, and the whole entourage of other things that we talk about on this platform all the time. So anyway, I wanted to bring that to your attention. I got to do my breaking news, and then I'm going to play you that soundbite, and I got to wrap it up. Breaking news. I just love that music. I hope you enjoy it because it really, it's just funny to me. So number four, we were talking the other day about the recall Rusty Bowers, and Mike Lindell and Sidney Powell have joined America Restored to make this recall happen. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention that this is just not one or two groups that are coming together. There are many, many people that are supporting this, that are getting the word out that we need to get these signatures, right? There's 30,000 total that need to be signed. That's legislative district 25, which is the Mesa area. So if you live there, then we need your support. We need to get a petition and sign it. And if you want to help volunteer to get signatures, that would be awesome. We need more boots on the ground. This Saturday and Sunday, they're having a recall rally in Mesa to gather signatures and recruit volunteers. They've got the Timeout Bar and Grill that's in Mesa has decided to just kind of open their doors to be the central location, the central meeting spot for everybody to go there it's pretty much any time that it's open. Every day during the week, and you can go sign the petition and you can get petitions, or they'll tell you where you can go, or you can go to their website for America's Restored and you can sign up, and everything's free. The signing up and stuff is free. And then if you want, you can go print out, you get a code, you go to FedEx and you can print out the petitions too and get them signed. So I put all that information on the Arizona recall page at the Take Action tab, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com, or you could always go to Recall Bowers, and that's Recall Bowers, BOWERS.com. And on the website, it will list the times and dates of when they're going to be having events at this location, and specific times when you can go there, pick up the petitions, and then when people will be there. So they're going to use that. They're going to do a hashtag so you can keep track. And then once you put in that hashtag, it tells you this. But everything's always going to be on that website so you know where to go, what to do. So anybody that's listening, again, it's LD25, trying to recall Rusty Bowers, who is the Speaker of the House. And, you know, he's done many, many things. He's just so that you have an idea. All of the laundry list of things he's done is on that website. But one of them was just he said it didn't really matter what – you know, he didn't want to have the electors here in Arizona recalled, even though that there might have been fraud. And even he said, even if there is evidence, then I'm still going to stick with it and just let it go and not worry about it. And then one of the big ones, this one's kind of sick. I have to pull it up, so I want to give you the specific language, but the gist was he was in favor. It was a bill that came across that said after 5 years, pedophiles and sex offenders and things like that, they can apply to have their names taken off the list. And he thought that would be a great idea. So he was in favor of that. That's just sick. And of course they used the excuse, oh, well, you know, the guys were maybe 18 and the girl was 16. No. I mean, we've talked about this before. That's not what it was about. You're talking pedophilia. You're talking human trafficking. You're talking sex trafficking. Because he's protecting his friends. But anyway, that's kind of the bad guy that he is. Also, there's a lot of lacking when it comes to morals and values. And, yeah, I've talked to quite a few people that were sharing some stories, and they all used the same words, and immoral kept coming up. So it's not just that he voted for a bill or voted against a bill. It's much deeper than that. I've never been a fan, but what do I know, right? Okay, that was number four. Number five. Oh, this is so important. Okay, so today we were talking. We didn't really jump into the non-vaccines, right? Remember, it's not a vaccine, but an experimental biological agent with mRNA technology tracking devices, operating systems, and fetal tissue from aborted babies. Yes, the dead babies be in your arm. So I highly encourage you not to take it. But this is important. So yesterday I watched these two videos. They were
very eye-opening. You know, I'm in this, I'm putting my head and poking my head and listening to this stuff all the time. This was different. So you want to talk about truth bombs? And like, I rewound both of them quite a few times where I was taking some notes and I was just like, did she just say that? And it was just a whole other layer of what's going on with these fake vaccines and the COVID political propaganda pandemic. Was the health ranger. I told you this guy has great guests on for his interview segments. He does his own thing with the podcast, but a lot of the times he'll have some guests on. So with Dr. Lee Merritt and Dr. Christiane Northrup, they're part of that pack, you know, this pack of doctors that I was mentioning, Dr. Pam Popper is included in them. And so is Dr. Larry Pilevsky, who was on the other day, Sherry Tenpenny's part of that. Who else did I know I was rattling them off to you guys earlier, but anyway, that's Dr. Lee Merritt, and it's recent ones. So we just go in the past couple of days and you'll see it. Lee Merritt and Christiane Northrup. So what I learned was, because you're hearing about the shedding, and I wasn't like, what are they talking about the shedding? But it's worse than that. These non-vaccines, right, they're self-disseminating and they're self-spreading, which means that and this is the way they were designed. And it's not these, either Dr. Lee Merritt or Christiane Northrup were kind of just putting that together. It's actually in the documents that they were going to create this type of a non-vaccine, okay? So so once you have this in your system, right, this non-vaccine, they take that shot and they stick whatever's in that syringe into you. Now what can happen is human bodies can transmit what's in that syringe, which was in their body, by touching or close contact to another person. So it's jumping from person to person. And they're backing this up with information because she was giving multiple examples in the interview. Which that's when you're going to go, oh my God, this is some scary stuff. So they were saying, you know, that and the things that all were in common was that the only thing that they all had in common were the people that had gotten these symptoms of what the after effects or the adverse reactions to this non-vaccine. It was, they were around people that were vaccinated. And you're talking about like, even when Dr. Christiane Northrup, she was talking about all these women, where they're having multiple miscarriages and these fertility clinics, same things are happening, but it's tons and tons of patients. Or like some lady, something happened where her, like, I don't want to say her uterus fell out, but I mean, it was something like just like the lining disappeared. I mean, just crazy. And like little kids were all of a sudden, I mean, they're talking about massive amounts of bleeding and it's just, well, not little kids because the little kids haven't gotten it yet, but people that should not be having these issues are having them, all kinds of adverse reactions, but it's primarily, it's targeting the women in their reproductive systems. And both doctors commented on that, saying, you know, this is by design. They designed it so that they can, you know, it's all about eugenics. It's about reducing the population and getting rid of people and then not having people being able to reproduce. Which when I heard, you know what the scary thing is when I said the breaking news about them having these bizarre hysterectomy surgeries and they shut down that illegal alien facility. When I said that this morning, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Hysterectomy. What is this? I'm like, that sounds like reproductive system. So just weird. Well, and again, there's no such thing as coincidences and there's no such thing as conspiracy theories. So this is, you know, these two doctors, facts and information, but the information that Dr. Christiane Northrup shared, both of them, but Christiane really talked more about from the OBGYN side, because that's what kind of a doctor she is. And it was just unbelievable. She went into detail and she explained that the mRNA, which is this, you know, it's in this non-vaccine, because that's the technology. Remember, when I say it's not a vaccine, and of course it's experimental, 217, so I'm watching the clock. The non-vaccine has the mRNA technology. A normal vaccine has some of the actual virus in it so that your body fights it when and builds the antibody so that when you do get exposed to the vaccine or exposed to the virus, it can fight it already. This does not. These have it's not new. It's been around, but they weren't able to get it approved because when they passed, they were doing all the testing with these ferrets, all the ferrets died. So they could never get it approved by the FDA. So they ended up getting it approved under emergency use authorization right, which apparently they approve everything during that. So then that's why it's now there and it's experimental. So you are the guinea pig who are the lab experimental, like the lab rat, the experimentals. And Dr. Northrup even said, she goes, well, we got COVID so they can give the inoculation, that shot of the mRNA. But here's what the mRNA programs your body to produce the spike protein, which is what is injuring people and causing all these adverse reactions. So it is just filling your body up with all kinds of spike protein by this technology. Plus, it's a whole lot of other stuff, but that's the gist of it. So I highly recommend those videos. Check them out. You will learn a lot. And if that doesn't change your mind about what you should be doing with the vaccine, especially with your kids. Oy, we were talking about with Dr. Pam Popper today. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. We're giving you a lot of information on this show and bringing you a lot of experts. Oh, I just hope the people are paying attention, telling their family and friends, and then making the smart decisions for many, many things in your life. You can always go to the Must Listen To page, Take Action tab, right? Everything's at the Take Action tab. And you will see Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, his graphic there. Click on that. It'll take you to his show. That way you don't have to remember all these websites and things like that. Just look at people's faces or their logos or the write-up that I put on there on these graphics. Everything's just clicking, clicking, clicking. Number six, and this might be new to some people. More people have died from the COVID non-vaccines than all the other vaccines ever made in the history of being made. And keep in mind, that's the reported deaths on the CDC's VAERS system, which we know is only approximately 1% of all of the incidences. So again, more people have died from the COVID non-vaccine than all other vaccines combined in the history of making the vaccines available on the market. And as we mentioned the other day, remember the Brandon House over at Worldwide View? He's over on Frank Speech too, Frank Speech, Mike Lindell's platform. He showed that segment from Mike Wallace back in 1979 talking about the swine flu and the issues that they were having in 76. And they were using the same narrative. They were pushing the same thing. Meanwhile, like a small portion of the people actually got it. And, they blew up the, they overdid and exploited the one death that did happen. And they did a vaccine, right? They did a vaccine. And as soon as they hit 50 people dying, they took it off the market. And we're at over 9,000. Keep in mind, that's still what they actually admitted to, even though a lot of these adverse actions that are happening, like somebody has a stroke, but it was because of this. So it's really a lot more than that. But anyway, and then of course, what Dr. Pam Popper discussed today, the lawsuit that they had filed, that was the temporary restraining order against the use of COVID-19 vaccine. Remember, not a vaccine, so in children. So I believe that 16 and under is to get that that TRO, that temporary restraining order. So you need to definitely check out her organization, Make Americans Free Again. It's under, guess where, the Take Action tab. And it's Must Follow Groups. We're going to add them along as a platinum partner. I'm going to get involved here with the Arizona Groups. Going to bring some more bonnies, and then I will get much more involved with them to promote it on the show so that you can get involved there too. Start your own Thursday group. A great lady. What a great lady. All right. Since I kind of want to just bring everything together that we talked about, especially with Dr. Pam Popper and the stuff that I've been rambling and what time? 2:22. I'm gonna play this, and then I gotta jump off. So I wanted to play this. I heard this a couple times today, so I thought it would be important to share, just because it talks about the Arizona audit, and basically it's the Joe. God, this guy's a piece of work. Joe Scarborough. He had a meltdown today. He's been having meltdowns, right? Because he doesn't like the audit. He doesn't like the truth. He thinks everybody who thinks that there was thinks. There's no thinking about what happened with the election fraud. There's so much information out there that's factual that there's no denying it. It's just a matter of which category would you like to focus on, and then we'll give you some hardcore facts, because you've got attorney Matt DiPerno, all the stuff that he has found, and you've got Dr. Frank, which was the professor from Ohio, not to mention all the information that we learned from Maria Zach over at that she delivered about everything that was happening in Italy, saying that they came at it from all the directions and all the different individual states, the state legislature. You can read in the Navarro report. He did one. He broke down in each state and told you exactly the amounts of votes that went in each category. You've got all the movies or the documentaries from Mike Lindell. He's got three of them that are out. He's coming out with the next one. So if you haven't seen Absolute Proof, Absolute Interference, and the other one that they did, Absolute Proof, Interference. I can't remember the other one. That's all on our website on the must watch page. And the groups are there. We're adding more to that. And there's an election fraud page. I just haven't updated in a while, but that's where is the Peter Navarro link to go see each state broken down. Not to mention the laws that were passed that were unconstitutional, the $400 million from that little worm, Mark Zuckerberg. And of course, what we're finding issues here with the audit, with the machines, with the individual cities and the counties. And as I mentioned, just the example alone of Liz Harris, she was doing her own canvassing. And she gave the statistics of 1/3 were dead people. 1/3 lived in basically PO boxes and vacant lots. And the other 1/3 got multiple ballots. And she's turned that information over to the Mayor of Corruption County attorneys, and they've been sitting on it for 2 months. So that was just an example of canvassing before the audit even started. So can you imagine what's going to come out when they start canvassing? Have a problem? It'll probably be the same pattern. And that's the thing. It's algorithms and patterns, and the numbers and the patterns are the same in all the states, because that's how you had to do this. So, it's interesting because you got Dr. Popper brought up Dr. Shiva, right? Dr. Shiva, he is part of the Mike Lindell's documentary. So you'll see him on there. He was running for Senate up in Massachusetts, which what she was talking about when she was mentioning they do have some good judges still left. And his lawsuit is moving forward. He actually did get a couple good wins on his behalf, because he's one of those smart doctors that's also an attorney, which is also like a mathematician and whatever. This guy is like really, really smart, but he's awesome to watch because he can really explain things like Dr. Pam Popper does, makes those complicated things for those really smart people. They know all that stuff, and then they can dummy it down so the rest of us can understand, but then still make it entertaining during their interviews. But anyway, he figured it out for himself. And he represented himself. So he keeps winning, and he's like a full-on doctor. He just, Dr. Simone Gold, they're so smart that they're like, all right, I already went to medical school, but it's going to be easy. I'll just pick up a law degree in case I ever need it. But they never really had to practice law. But anyway, same kind of thing. Maybe they have like a dual degree where you get both at the same time. Anyway, those people, way too smart. And so he represented himself in these cases, and he keeps winning because he couldn't find anyone to do it for him. But he figured out what the problem was, because he was just playing with the math, and he was looking at the numbers, and he was looking at the different cities and the different counties and the different, like, the jurisdictions or the districts. And he's like, there's a pattern here. There's a pattern. So anybody that says there is no election fraud, they are either in denial or they're part of the problem, right? So that's what it's come down to at this point. So if you're talking about seeing these different companies, if you're seeing politicians, you're seeing judges, you're seeing talking heads like this Mr. Joe Scarborough and that Inka Vinka, whatever her name is, the wife that's been a wife for like an hour and a half. I can only imagine how that whole one thing went down. They worked together all these years. They both were married. All of a sudden, they both get divorced, and all of a sudden, they could both get married. I think there was some overlapping there. Virtue. Yeah. Hello. Righteous. Right. Whatever. So anyway, any of these people in positions where, you've got the whole fraud sheet team where their hands are so dirty and all of this, and then all of the different entities that have ruined the medical industry, you know, that's what Dr. Pam Popper was giving those examples today. So anybody that doesn't think that there was fraud, that there was some real shenanigans, they're either compromised or they're corrupt. Or, I mean, I can't imagine at this point, they just don't know, haven't heard any of these facts. So I can't imagine there's not one person that, you know, I've never heard anything. I never heard any of that. That I have a hard time believing. So it's one of the two. You're corrupt or you are compromised, meaning you're playing into it for whatever reason. Or definitely that's corrupt too. Or, well, yeah, either way, it's bad. So this guy, okay, so I'm going to play you. It's 4 minutes and then I'm going to end it because it's 2:29 and I got to go. And I know that there's no reason to listen to me ramble. You got to go. You got things to do. You got to go to Make Americans Free Again and sign up for them. Or you can go on the Must Follow page and get signed up, see what they're actually doing, get involved. You got to go grow your business. Going to enhance the quality of your life. Go listen to past episodes. Make a difference. There's lots that you can be doing. I'd rather have you listening to new episodes than me rambling on this one. So I'm going to wrap it up, but I need you to hear this because this is the insanity of the people who hate you, hate me, hate the truth, and just want the world to be like it was before we all started to have our own little great awakening journey just to see how corrupt and evil and a bunch of liars that all of these people are. There's 13 bigs that are all in this category together. They're just popping out lies and then trying to demoralize and trying to just constantly berate us and act like we're the bad guys. And there's, I mean, what he says doesn't even make any sense. He just kind of goes all over the board yelling and screaming like, yeah, there's something wrong with him. Yeah, like something major really wrong. And this is what they think about you. This is what they feel. So, again, don't give any of these Republican groups any money. If you want to give money to a group, you give money to a group like Make Americans Free Again. Don't give it to any, if you're going to give money to any group that is anything political, you give it directly to the candidate or you give it to groups like Make Americans Free Again. You give it to groups like America Restored. Those are the groups that you make donations to. None of these political PACs, these groups, things like that. Don't do that. And of course, don't give any money to the GOP. Don't give any money to the Republican Party. You give it directly to a candidate that you know, that you have vetted. You could say, this guy, this gal, she is going to stick up for me. She's going to stand up for me. She kind of like, she reminds me of a mini MTG. Otherwise, don't bother. No, don't bother. Because it's just more of the same. And again, like the good doctor today said, well, you got to stop complying. She goes, you can't comply and then expect me to fix your problem. You got to stop complying. She said, if we all would have stopped complying, so I've been talking about this for months, then this thing would have been over a long time ago. Yeah. There's enough facts out there. Masks, bad. Non-vaccines, bad. Lockdowns, bad. Closing business, very bad. So everything that they tell you, just bad. So you know the opposite's true. All right, so listen to this ass. This is beyond, ass is being too kind. Listen to this. This is Joe's meltdown today, this morning. Like, this guy needs, let me check him in. But this is how they all feel, right? So they're just trying to make anybody that likes Trump, anyone that's patriotic, they're trying to make us as the evil villain. No, we're nuts. Oh, no. There's way so much information. And I have an election fraud page and then must watch videos. So that'll get you going. I might clean that up this weekend too. So listen to this.
Outrage.
I mean,
this election audit in Arizona has come under intense scrutiny because it used a company that had a CEO that actually endorsed all these false claims that the election was stolen. And Willie, now that these machines have been placed into a conspiracy theorist's hand and a guy who is a grifter and has been a grifter, it would be irresponsible and reckless for Maricopa County to do anything else but get completely new machines. Like, this grift is going to cost them millions and millions of dollars if for elections to come, because they haven't had custody of these machines. They weren't allowed to stay within sight of these machines. So there's not a responsible election official a supervisor of elections that would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to let you take my machines that always stay locked up in my facilities. You just take them out and play with them and do your conspiracy theories and then bring them back to me. And then we'll just run 2022 like that never happened. No, it doesn't work that way. This is outrageous. There are other states that are now talking about following this conspiracy theory path. And somebody, it's not going to be Donald Trump, somebody in the Republican Party that actually gives a damn about American democracy needs to step up and tell them to stop these audits. I'll just say throw dirt all over everything that symbol represents. And you do it every day.
And this is January 6th.
You do it every day. This is not about Joe Biden. This stopped being about Joe Biden a long time ago. This is about you. This is about you playing in to what every one of our enemies wants you to play into. That American democracy is not worth being trusted. That American democracy is no different than Russia. If you believe that, I will say to you what many of you said in the 1960s. America, love it or leave it. If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if you don't respect Madisonian checks and balances, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country. Because you're unworthy of it. And there are millions of immigrants who will come here and raise their right hand and buy into the creed and believe that we are exceptional, that believe American democracy is the greatest government on the face of the earth. And they will do it proudly. They will salute the flag proudly. And most importantly, they will fight for what that flag represents. Well, you shame yourself. Will you disgrace yourself? Will you disgrace our country in the eyes of the world? Yes, this is all on you. Get the facts. Live in the light. Follow the truth. And love this country. And stop this. Or leave. Or leave. If you're going to believe a reality TV show host's lies about the American Republic is desecration of American exceptionalism, then just get the hell out. We don't want you here. That's all I got to say.
You couldn't have said it better.
Well, thank
actually.
You.
No, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's how they feel. And it was 100% wrong. You know, what if you notice he said checks and balances. We didn't have checks and balances. Okay, so he doesn't know what he's talking about there. And then he mentioned that we have a great republic, which we do, but the people that are running it right now are the ones that are corrupt, that are causing the problems. They're not running it the way it should be run. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had Stacey Abrams getting that side deal done illegally against the Constitution of the state of Georgia. And changing the laws, or the laws being changed in other states, that's not legal. So how is that okay? And then he mentioned something about that. Well, you know, if you guys leave, I'm assuming he's talking about me and you, then we have a bunch of immigrants that will come here. They're already coming. They're illegal aliens. They're already coming. So I'm not quite sure when he mentioned that, because they're here. There's already a couple hundred thousand that have come here already. I heard like 500,000 already. That's only the ones that they've caught coming across. Can you imagine how many have just squirreled across? So I'm not quite sure why he brought that up. And then he said, we have the greatest government on the face of the earth. Notice how he said government. He didn't say greatest country. He said greatest government. We don't have the greatest government. The government's the problem. Maybe he would like to reference what Ronald Reagan said. You know, the 9 most dangerous words, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, something along those lines. And then he said, government, I don't remember the exact one, but it was the other quote that government isn't the solution. Government is the problem. I'm going to look that one up. but you know what I mean? You know which one I'm talking about. So the fact that he even said greatest government on the face of the earth just goes to show you where his brain is, where he thinks. It has nothing to do with the government. The infrastructure that the founding fathers did was great. We have long veered from that, and the people that are running it are the problem. People like him with his loud-ass mouth spewing lies. That's probably why MS, I mean, he's the problem. He is the problem because what he said wasn't true. And I think he made it quite clear, greatest government. We're not the greatest government. Like we're the greatest country, but right now we're not the greatest. We were. We need to get back on track. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up. I am going to wrap it up. 2:38. So it is time to renew our faith, restore our republic, rebuild our economy, reopen America 100%. Dr. Pam Popper's leading the way. And once you commit, everything changes in every aspect of your life. They don't have to say don't be a mask hole anymore. Well, for those of you that are still wearing them, you got to stop. You got to stop. There's no conspiracies and there are no coincidences. Quite a few of them. Talking about today, want to keep your common sense cap on and try to leave it on all day, try to sleep in them. And remember that courage, conviction, and common sense are contagious. So it's time to make a step. It's time to move forward. It's time to focus and figure out what it is that you are willing to do in order to grow your business, enhance the quality of your life, and make a difference, especially in your community. Remember that those who stand for nothing fall for everything. You need to make a decision. You need to decide, what am I going to stand for? What do I stand for? And what actions am I willing to take away from my normal daily routine so I can do something to take action? These Thursday groups, you're doing networking with other businesses. So I have a feeling you'd pick up some business from some like-minded people. So killing two birds with one stone, which I don't know why they keep beating up on the bird. Poor bird was getting killed by these flying stones. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, I'll get you more on that. But you can go check it out. It's on the must follow page and Make Americans Free Again. I'm going to get very active in that. And help that grow, especially here in Arizona. So a special thank you to all the partners of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network. Their information, their episodes, and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. Check out the Purpose Driven Partners page. That has all of the episodes. We're at 156 partners with 369 live segments of this show, and then 130 one-on-one podcasts that you might want to tune into. And, of course, there's special segments to any of these great Soapbox partner, patriotic soapbox, shotgun riders. I try to put those into a special segment. So there's even more to listen to, And let's see what else. The live tab. Make sure you go to the live events page. There's tons of information there on what's going on here locally. There's an Arizona page, but there's also a lot of events nationwide that I'm adding there. There's a virtual event, a health one coming up next week. So check that out on the virtual page. And just scroll through on that Take Action tab and with all the different pages to see what it is that you want to do. And, of course, always check out our Platinum Partners. Way too many Ps. All right, everybody. Monday, another five guests, seven-minute segments. And my special guest for the Patriot of a Soapbox is Dr. Cordy Williams, the Megaphone Marine. He's actually really cool. His organization, the 1776 Forever Freedom Project. Really cool guy. He's very entertaining. You're going to love that segment. And then Wednesday, we're finalizing it, but it sounds like it's going to be Charlene Bollinger with The Truth About Cancer. And then on Friday, Melissa Hooray, the executive director over at the Lindell Recovery Network. I believe that is on Friday. We're lining up some more great partners and guests for you. So you can get all this information. Changes your life. Promise. So tune in Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific time for another Nooner with me. You're going to have some great information that happened over the weekend. So be prepared. But in the meantime, go ahead, share this show, share this platform with your friends and family. Encourage them to get involved with the community. They can like and follow us on all the social media platforms and rate and review the show. Sign up for the newsletter so that they get bypassed by all the censorship. They don't have to worry about that. And, of course, we just encourage everybody to become part of this
check out all the different groups that we're working with, and get involved. Can't say you didn't know where to go. Can't say you didn't know where all the info was. All right here, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com, making it easy for you to find the messages from that matter, from the people you need to know about, and be able to change your life for the better in every single category. All there on the website. All right. We're awake. Yes, I think so. We're all fired up. Go take action. What we shared, if you can head down to Mesa today, make sure you get your tickets if you're going to go down there. The event starts at 6:30. That's down in Mesa, America First Rally, with the notorious Congresswoman MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and a bunch of other people. I'll be headed down there in a little while. So come join us. Free tickets at the live events page, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. And, of course, we've got another event on Saturday and another one on Tuesday here. Other ones nationwide. So go and make it a great day. Make it a great weekend. Take out that pen and paper. Put on that common sense cap. Listen to a couple of these episodes. Figure out what you want to do, what you stand for, and what are you going to do to make not only your life better, but your community and your business. Start with the All-Star episodes. You'll see that page under the Take Action tab. Then go to the Purpose Driven Partners page, and you'll see all of those episodes, those live segments, and just start looking at the categories. You could do this. Make it fun. All right. You know what we're going to play? Got to play my God Bless America song, and then we are done. We're going to go end the show. So thanks for listening, everybody. I really appreciate the support. And please share with your friends and family. We can do this if we all join together. And I'm bringing everybody together as much as I can. I'm going to bring in more groups, and we're going to make them all work together. Because that's how we do this. That's how we do this. And stop complying. Dr. Pam Popper says she can't help you. You keep complying. So don't complying. Complying and lying. And then complying, lying, Joe Biden. That's a stretch. All right, have a great weekend.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick. Life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness. To meet, learn from, and hire the experts and the guests, professionals, and members of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace, visit everythinghometalkshow.com/episodes. And to listen, subscribe, rate, review, like, follow, comment, and share, go to www.everythinghometalkshow.com and find us on all the major listening platforms. Thanks for listening. We hope you were entertained, and we hope that you picked up some real-life, tangible takeaways from some good people doing good business and good things. Till next time, this is Everything Home, signing off.